Andy in Kansas. You're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We are a couple dudes who like to drink red wine and sit around and discuss the merry ways and pranksterish days of Alex Jones.
he's Pan now. That's what we're talking about.
He is.
He's got goat legs and everything.
He's a fawn running through the woods.
I buy it.
He is.
What a world it would be if he was.
If he was just some sort of Bacchus-like character.
Yeah. Just bringing all sorts of weird, awkward feelings no matter where he goes.
He does do that. But here's one thing that separates Alex Jones from Pan. Alex is never having fun.
That's a good question. What does Alex do for fun?
Kills things. I know he likes to hunt.
That is on brand. I'm glad he's on brand.
Fill in the blank with anything Americana and manly. And I think that's where he lives in terms of fun. That's my guess.
What do you think his barbecue is like?
Oh, Nelly. I bet.
He's probably good at barbecuing.
I would assume so. He lives in Texas. There's a lot of good grilling opportunity down there. My parents live in Austin.
There's some good grilling opportunities.
It's warm most of the year.
Yep.
My parents live down there, and every time I go visit around like Thanksgiving, my dad's super excited to have smoked a turkey out in the old smoker. He's got a meat smoker.
Uh-huh.
I imagine Alex Jones gets into some of that business.
I gotcha. Anyway. So what's the twist on this podcast?
I speculate a lot about Alex Jones' grilling habits.
And I don't know anything about his grilling habits at all.
The real twist is I listen to Alex Jones every day and you don't.
I do not.
So today, Jordan, we're going to be going over something that happened on the April 11th, the Tuesday episode this week of the Alex Jones Show.
Okay.
Now, I want to give a little bit of context. This is fortune smiling upon me.
Oh! All right.
This whole week,
uh-huh,
the last couple of days, Sunday through Tuesday, have been essentially Alex talking about Syria being a false flag.
Right.
Insisting that every piece of evidence backs him up. He talks about how, like, even Putin said it's a false flag. Oh, great. Cool.
I buy it.
Yeah. Great source.
So far, he's been very trustworthy across the spectrum.
Of course. There's an interview with Ron Paul that was on RT where he says it was a false flag. Like, all right, hold on now.
Ron Paul was on RT saying Syria was a false flag?
RP on RT.
All right. Well, actually, now I'm back on Ron Paul's side.
Yeah, he's like,
you know what? I left the libertarian for a while. Now I'm back.
He's like, there's a 0% chance this was Assad. All right, whatever.
There's not a 0% chance.
Nope.
There's not a 100% chance, either.
No, much like you can't tell without DNA testing if a duck is a duck. You can never be certain of things in life.
Yeah, and believe me, one of the ways to learn is not DNA testing.
No. Also, he has an interview, that he plays. He didn't conduct this interview. It was on the BBC with a former ambassador to Syria. His name is Peter Ford.
Right.
And he's talking about how...
That's an Americana name, of course.
But he's British.
Yeah, but that's why Alex Jones is cool with putting him on his show.
Yeah, the real reason he's okay with it is because of the fuck he says. But he's a former UK ambassador to Syria.
Okay.
He ended his tour of duty or whatever in 2006. And he is basically saying that because Trump has bombed them after a gas attack, it gives any ISIS members there a really good motivation to fake another one if they want to lure us into war.
Right.
He says that. That's what the interview says. Alex Jones insists that this is proof that the gas attack that has happened is a false flag, and that this guy, this ambassador to Syria, is even saying it, which isn't technically true. It's sort of implied, but he doesn't actually say that.
Okay.
Further, I did a little looking into this ambassador's past. And he has been roundly criticized by tons of organizations for being pro-Assad.
Really?
He is very unimpartial.
So he may be searching for any possible explanation that doesn't implicate his boy, Assad.
Yeah. He's done some, like, appearances at lectures and stuff.
But at the same time, you know, that is a technically true thing that he said, wherein if I were the leader of ISIS, which I am not.
Thank you for clearing that up.
I would say if we could swing that false flag on our own, then we got a good shot at the holy war we've been searching for.
Exactly. And I mean, that line of logic does make sense.
Yeah. But so basically what we're saying is Ford is giving them the plan.
I'm sure they'd thought of that already, but it doesn't track that means that the attack itself was a false flag because Assad has a horrible record of attacking his own people and using unconventional weapons.
Well, you could say horrible record. You could also say he has one of the best records ever.
Certainly.
In that he's really good at it.
So Alex has been making this argument across the board.
Yes.
And he's doing it in order to try and defend Trump.
Right.
He's saying that Trump is like, he knows this. He's just doing this as a show of strength. We kind of went over that a little bit on the last episode.
Yeah.
The thing that's interesting is he's been twisting it, and he's been blaming everybody. So it started with Kushner.
Right.
Who, as we know, Steve Bannon has called a globalist and a cuck.
He is a cuck. Whether or not he's a globalist is yet to be seen. But cuck, I think we can all agree.
So he's like, it's Kushner. It's Jared Kushner. He tricked
Cuckner.
Him.
Cuckner. That's what we call him from now
Bingo.
On.
Bingo. So Cuckner is like, he...
Now that's my favorite thing.
He's a secret Democrat, this stuff. And he's like, oh, okay, he's a neocon, globalist, whatever. Then Alex switches and he's like, you know, it was Ivanka. And he blames
all
Ivanka.
All right.
He's like, oh, that's fun. And now on Tuesday's show.
So, Ivanka is cuckering Cuckner at this point.
Yes.
That's what we're doing now. Uh-huh. Okay, I gotcha.
That doesn't stick for very long.
No.
So now on today's show, because we're recording this on Tuesday, Alex is like, it's Tillerson.
Yes! Excellent.
So everyone's getting the blame.
Everyone but Trump.
Everyone.
So the buck stops everywhere but Trump.
Yes. And
gotcha.
To be fair, Tillerson makes sense. He is an Exxon CEO and... oil is very heavily involved in Syria.
There's
a pipeline issue that is very real there.
Well, also, he's a billionaire and he has no feelings or thoughts or emotions.
No.
He's just evil, just pure capitalism personified.
And seems fully uninterested in staffing the State Department.
He hates being the Secretary of State.
But he doesn't want any deputies either, apparently.
No, which seems so odd. If you don't want to do the job, just get other people to do it for you. You are a billionaire. That's your entire life.
Well, actually, Mike Cernovich has an interesting theory about that.
Excellent.
Mike Cernovich was on last week or so, and he was breaking a big scoop. And that is that the pedophile army... The globalist elite pedophile army have compromised the people who give out security clearances. So the reason that all of the jobs in the government aren't staffed, it isn't because Trump hasn't nominated anybody for those positions.
Which he hasn't.
He has not. It's because whenever he does try and nominate somebody, these globalist pedophile elite controlled security clearance people are like, no, you're a patriot, get out of here.
That is maybe the dumbest conspiracy theory I've heard yet.
It's wild.
That one is out there.
So anyway, all this shit's been going on, and I don't want to talk about it. Like I said on the last episode, I didn't want to cover it. What we were going to cover today was that today on the Tuesday show, April 11th, Alex Jones had Michael Savage back on.
Oh boy.
And Michael Savage, I think, is starting to smell the roses.
Okay, so he's starting to bail on Trump.
Not so much, but he's starting to realize, oh fuck, we got screwed.
He's laying the groundwork.
He's definitely starting to be like, I trust Trump, but he's going to fuck us. He's getting us into World War III. Basically. And it's like, I don't understand how you didn't see this coming, first of all. They go hard on Tillerson and they're like, he's an oil CEO. Of course he's interested in this pipeline.
It's
You know,
which is a reasonable thought.
You know that we all knew this when he was nominated. They're screaming about how he's connected to Goldman Sachs and all this shit.
He is.
And
Goldman Sachs runs most of his cabinet at this point.
The whole time, Alex, like, since the election, once Trump started nominating people, Alex was like, yeah, he's getting Goldman Sachs people in, but these people all have a history of fighting the globalists.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, you're just making shit up.
Yeah.
You're just...
That's what the right wing has been doing. They got defeated by Fox News.
Yeah.
Like, Fox News, they were like, oh, this is our propaganda wing. We can tell other people. And then it got out of their control, and now everybody believes the dumb shit that they were selling people before.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't realize that, right. We were lying.
Yeah.
They forgot that part. They just got swept up in it. They're like, look at how much fun this is to hate black people. Hooray! especially when one's the president. And then all of a sudden it got out of control, and now they're like, yeah, we know that Trump would.
Oh no. We're coming for a, like, real weird alt-right hangover,
I think.
And it's not going to be fun for anybody.
You are so optimistic in saying there will be people.
There will be anybody.
Yeah.
So
the hangover will be eternal slumber.
I was fascinated by this Michael Savage interview, and that was what we were going to cover.
Yes.
And I regret not pulling one clip from it.
You didn't pull any?
I didn't pull any because what happened right after the Michael Savage interview.
Okay.
This was like the God smiling down on me. Like, I was like, I don't want to cover this stuff. I know we're 10 minutes into the episode now, and we've been talking about what he's been talking about. But I don't want to do a whole episode talking about this war shit, because it's so whack.
Yeah.
I just don't care. And I'm like, I don't want to talk about it. We've got to record an episode.
Just like crack, war is whack.
Yeah, I was like, please just give me something. And, you know, like Jesus, Alex Jones works in mysterious ways.
You are building this up crazy far.
You know what? It is worth it.
Okay.
This is going to be, and I want to say this, he's sober.
Okay. All right.
And it's one of the craziest
things I've ever heard. We're getting full power Alex Jones, full force AJ.
Yes, but he has some.
Bringing some hard crazy.
But he still has some of his drunk characteristics, but you can tell that he's not drunk. But when I brought up I regret not pulling one clip from the Michael Savage interview. There was a point where Alex is like, they've taken Trump's phone away from him.
And thank God.
And Michael Savage is like, what? They've taken his phone?
They've taken his phone?
Yeah, exactly.
Then who will tweet at us at 6 a.m?
And then Alex is like, yeah, whenever you call him now, he's like, you know, we got his cell phone and that's how we always talk. And now you call him and the Priebus is there.
So that does confirm our theory that Alex Jones has Trump's phone number.
No, he's probably making that up.
You think so?
The premise that the president's chief of staff is holding his phone hostage and answering his calls for him on his personal cell phone seems absurd to me. But then again,
are you shitting me?
Trump,
that's the most reasonable response to anything that's been going on so far.
But nothing that's happened is reasonable, so why start now?
Exactly.
That's my feeling.
Well, that's a good point. Like, I forgot.
We're already
past that. No, if you had
the definition of rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic.
Yeah, that's
it's
true.
Like, let's have someone else answer his fucking phone.
Yeah, but I mean, as long as he's not tweeting, the administration is doing better, I guess.
All right, homeboy's crazy. What do we do? I don't know. Take his phone. Get him a secretary. All right, what? No.
Oh, he's got plenty of secretaries.
But I think, look.
Guess how old they are and what gender?
Young?
Uh-huh.
Trans? No.
Oh, God.
Listen,
No.
Sorry. But look, okay, so I regret.
He's not Eddie Murphy. All right.
I regret not pulling that clip because it's really funny that Alex is like, I gotta talk to Priebus now. That's fucking hilarious.
Like a little whiny child.
But thank God this happened.
All right.
He came back from break. He leaves Dr. Savage. Michael Savage interview's done. Savage is mad. He's furious.
Alex Jones is mad. Everybody's mad.
So Alex comes back from break, and I apologize also that I don't have an out of context drop for this episode, but quite frankly, all of this is an out of context drop.
Okay.
I have cut this up into about 1 minute segments, so it's more digestible, but I want to make this clear. I have not cut a single fucking word from this 13 minutes. I have not changed any context. I have not edited anything.
So it's one solid 13 minutes.
Yep.
That you have chopped into 1 minute chunks.
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
And here's how it starts. And believe me, it doesn't stay on this topic for long.
They call me anti-Semitic whenever I talk about George Soros being a Nazi collaborator. What's crazy is they even show clips of what I say in the article, like I did something wrong. I'm against George Soros, and because I'm not against Israel. It's like they think they have authority because of the New York Times, the Washington Post, or the Forward, or Vanity Fair, which is their mainstream media, that if they just say it, it is. I learned a long time ago with bullies, they'd sit there and punch me in the face and think I was going to fall over. When I didn't fall over, they're like, you didn't fall over. I was like, no, now you're going to fall over. Truth is, I wish well on everybody, whether they're in Israel or Iran or Japan or Venezuela. When I see somebody falling down and somebody not doing well, I don't feel good.
Nope.
And I have a soft side that tends to get me then to sell out my own personal freedom to try to save somebody.
That sounds
But you learn right. You can't save a drowning person.
Can't save a drowning person.
Nope, not possible.
Also,
you know how nobody's ever saved a drowning person before?
Never.
Never. Not
no,
once.
That's why there are no lifeguards.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like a vestigial position. It doesn't exist anymore. Like a Miller. Wait, Miller's probably still exists.
Miller's totally still exists.
Eh, who cares? It seems like an old-timey job.
All right.
So the eclipse starts with people say I'm anti-Semitic.
I loved the rhythm there, too. It's like, it started out like a song, like, people say I'm anti-Semitic. When I say George Soros helped murder the...
Because I lie about him being a Nazi collaborator.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that is anti-Semitic.
People say I'm anti-Semitic because I single him out for his Judaism.
Because I maligned the Jews. Like, Alex, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, you... it's that... anyway, the more important thing is you were air guitaring through that.
And it was fantastic.
This is the second instance on the show that he, like, right before he talks about people calling him anti-Semitic, he was karaokeing along with this song. He was-
Wait, it was on the show?
Yes.
He knew the show was on.
I think he had to.
It wasn't like a, this is what he does every time they go to break is just him karaoke.
They've got an elaborate studio. There's an on-air sign. I mean, he had to have known. He's just singing along with this song. It is awesome.
But I do not count anything along the lines of he had to have known. There is no he had to have known in
this
world.
That's a fair point.
Alex Jones may not never know anything.
I'm so furious because I was watching the episode live and he started singing. I'm like, I can't wait to cut this clip. I can't wait to get this. And then I go back to the rebroadcast. They cut it out. So I don't have a copy of it. In the rebroadcast, they edited out his karaokeing. So he karaokeed this song. Earlier in the show, he karaokeed Amarillo by Morning by George Strait.
And they took them both out?
They come back from break earlier in the show, and it's Amarillo by Morning.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is a banger.
Yes.
It's a great song.
Yes.
So he starts, he's like, Amarillo by Morning. And then it cuts. And you can tell it cuts because the song jumps. And he's like, my daughter loves that song. You know, and she's like, why is this man doesn't have a dime? And he's like, honey, it's a story. It's a song, but it's a story about a bull rider. Like, all right, fuck off. But I'm legitimately furious that I don't have audio of that. And if we could get this show to take off and I don't have to have a job, I can just get it live. So donate to the Patreon because I want audio that we can play of Alex Jones karaokeing.
That is pretty much the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
That's why they cut it out, of course, is because they didn't want people grabbing that and putting it elsewhere.
100%.
Because what if a show like ours existed?
Exactly.
They have outsmarted us this time.
Yeah. Maybe.
We'll get you next time, InfoWars!
So, you are anti-Semitic for talking so much shit on very specific Jews and lying about them, especially in relation to their Judaism. You can save someone who's drowning. And now, again, I didn't edit anything. This is exactly where the next thought is.
But you learn you can't save a drowning person if they're trying to claw you under and push you down. When I was a little kid, we had a German Shepherd. He was a great dog named Nunk. Got hit by a car when I was a little kid.
Oh, God. Where is this going?
She couldn't take that dog to the lake. In fact, you couldn't take him to a friend's house with a swimming pool because the dog was in the house. It'd bust down, you know, the screen door to get to you and would claw you thinking you were drowning. Kind of the reverse of someone trying to push you under when you save them. It was the other way around. And look, none of us are perfect. None of us have all the answers, but I just want prosperity.
What are you fucking talking about?
And to see a future for humanity.
What does that
mean? So saying you
say... What was that?
You say you can't save a drowning person metaphorically. Then he talks about Nunk.
Nunk, the dog who wouldn't let you drown.
Which is the reverse.
Who is some sort of dog superhero.
It's as if he has an inverse ability to use metaphor. Like he's like, okay, I'm trying to make a simile here. Let me go with the exact opposite of what I'm talking about. And then, after he tells the story about the dog who doesn't relate to his point, he's like, listen, I just want prosperity.
What is he talking about?
These thoughts don't track.
Uh-uh.
He is all over the map.
Well, that is the proof that he is at the very least subconsciously being shaken.
Oh,
he's not ready for Trump to go away. He's not ready for Trump to not be his man.
Not ready for people to actually pay attention to him.
He's in an abusive relationship
with himself.
Yeah. That's and the administration and everything.
Holy shit.
He just keeps going back to Trump like, oh, Trump, if you got to know him, he'd be a really nice guy. And then Trump bombs Syria.
This 13-minute clip is evidence that he can't handle doing his own show anymore. And that's why he's been having so many goddamn guests on lately. He's having Roger Stone on almost every day. He's having Mike Cernovich on all the time. He's having Jerome Corsi show up a whole bunch.
Uh-huh.
Savage has been on twice in the last 2 weeks or so. That's a big get for that world. For that world of crazy wingdings.
So he's not okay.
He's been taking tons of calls this week, too.
Wow.
Which has been making me really want to call in. And I might.
Oh, you've got to.
I might start Baba Booing him.
You have to call him.
I might
you
do that.
You have to.
I might just be like, Alex, you okay, bro? You okay? But I want to make this public statement, too. Alex Jones is fucking stupid as shit.
Yes.
But compared to his callers, he is a goddamn genius. These callers are fucking so stupid.
Okay.
And with one exception. One lady called in the other day and was like, hey, I supported Trump. I never voted before. I thought this was going to be a big change and we're all being fucking played. Why don't you get that? Why don't you
this lady, it became a hero.
Alex immediately clicked.
Boom, get out. Yeah.
Puts her on hold.
Course.
And he asks her, like, why do you feel this way? And she brings up the idea of this pipeline through Syria that, you know, you want to get to Iran, so Russia can get the oil and what have you.
Yeah.
And she's like, why haven't you covered that? All you do is talk about all this other stuff. You talk about false flags and all this shit. Why don't you talk about that pipeline? And Alex Jones is like, man, we have covered it. And then his staff scrambles to find any fucking proof that he's covered it.
Anything. Just a little clip. Just
and it's
anything.
Flimsy. His evidence that he has covered it. But then he's like, hey, why do we got an infight? Yeah, I have covered it. And I was like, oh, I love this lady.
Yeah,
this
no
lady.
Kidding.
She was a Trump supporter, which I don't like so much.
Nope.
But you got chutzpah, ma'am. I'm into it. I enjoy it. So anyway, yeah, he can't
handle
it.
That's a woman who doesn't like being fucked, metaphorically.
Indeed,
now,
or
that's
metaphysically.
Well, everybody likes a little metaphysical fucking.
I like a metaphysical hand job. So this goes on. Let's see what else he wants to talk about.
And I see CNN going, oh, look at the alt-right's all upset. Trump's starting all these wars.
Yep.
Yeah.
How dare you not be for wars? And I'm just like, you people have no soul. You're corporate shills. Fox News is like the World War III channel right now.
Oh, no.
At least China and North Korea have threatened people. Syria didn't start this war, didn't do jack diddly squat except be a place where Jews, Christians, and all sects of Muslims could live in peace. And women went to college and could be doctors. And
he is talking about Iran in the 80s.
I talked to all the ambassadors and CIA people that have been there. They tell me after Jordan, it's the best place in the Middle East other than Israel for having some basic freedom.
Huh.
Yeah, but the Bulls never recovered after Jordan. I mean, we got Rose, but then Rose went down. It's just we're just never recovered.
Keeps breaking his knees and allegedly sexually assaulting people.
Oh, man. Rough.
I don't want to say that Syria didn't at one point be it wasn't a wonderful place to live.
It wasn't.
But Syria is not innocent.
No.
Assad has done some horrible shit.
To the point where you say, you know, Assad's almost killed as many Syrians as we have. Like, that kind of level of monster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, what the fuck? He was so close. He was so close. Because we agreed with him at the beginning.
What?
At the beginning of that clip, he was like, Fox News is the World War III channel.
Oh yeah, but so
and
is
I'm,
he.
I'm looking at Knowledge Fight going, we've got two things we agree with him on, maybe raise that up to three.
Yeah. You know what I should do?
And then he just goes straight to fucking Syria used to be a good place. No.
I should change that number of things we agree with him to on the website to days since we've agreed.
Yeah, that's way better. Yeah. You're right. You're right.
But
you're correct.
But like, I completely lost my thought. I don't know. This is the first time in 30 episodes I've just completely lost a thought.
Well, he's clearly talking about Iran in the 80s.
I would,
like, before we, regime changed Iran.
Oh, here's what it was.
When they were a lovely, liberal, perfect place.
All Alex does is talk about nuclear war breaking out with North Korea and the Chi-Coms.
Yeah.
And shit like that. Him accusing, Fox News of being World War III channel. Hoo boy. Hoo boy, pot kettle action there, my friend.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, but they're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
That's what Alex Jones's main point. No, you guys sound like you want to attack. We have to pretend that they attacked us first. We got a false flag.
And they're not like pretending that they have fake sources that are really high level.
Yeah.
He keeps also.
Well, they just have sources who are really high level telling them fake things.
Yeah.
it's just a mashup of different words when we get into the right wing areas. It's just mix and mash. It's a.
Lately, Alex has been being like, I got this from an inside the White House source about as high up as you can go.
Priebus?
No, it's fucking Bannon.
Priebus answered his phone, though.
Oh, he could have been gabbing with Prieb.
He could have. Look, I'm telling you, on this one, I think that is exactly how it would
but
go.
He hates Priebus.
Well, yeah, that's why he's really mad that Priebus is answering the phone.
And giving him information? Alex's leak is Priebus?
Just the fact that Priebus is talking to him tells him everything he needs to know.
Yeah, I guess so. Hey,
reverse engineered it.
I talked to a high-level White House employee the other day just because Priebus answered the phone.
Exactly.
All right.
That counts.
All right, whatever. So he goes on.
People want to bash Israel all day. So I just weigh Israel like I weigh other countries, and I go...
400 pounds.
Okay, Israel is this tiny piece of land, and then Saudi Arabia has more wealth than any other country, probably, for their elite. Not per capita wealth, but for their elite. Per capita wealth would be like South Korea. Overall wealth would be something like Switzerland.
Per capita wealth.
United States after that.
South Korea.
For wealth of elites, I mean, Saudi Arabia is, they are like 30,000 princes or something. I'm going to your calls in a moment. And the average one is like $5 million a year. The big ones get billions a year. Hundreds of princes get billions a year. Oh, you're a prince. Here's billions of dollars. They've got whole cities.
What?
For whatever
happening?
Reason, we don't know, that are air conditioned.
Whole cities that are air conditioned?
Big plastic tents that are like 3-bedroom houses. They can house millions of people. Oh, and they don't take one refugee, and then they sit there and they lecture Israel how they should take, quote, Palestinians, and that just means Arabs getting out of their countries and going to Israel.
Oh.
A lot to unpack there.
Really, really doesn't understand the whole Israeli-Palestine thing. It's not
one bit.
Not take Palestinian refugees, it's your... killing Palestinians
but he's
and stealing their land.
In this instance, he's just... No, you're even misunderstanding the bullshit that he's saying.
Yeah, that's probably
He's
true.
Saying that Saudi Arabia refuses to take a single refugee, particularly the Syrian refugees.
Right.
And that the Syrians are going to Israel. They're like saying, Israel, you gotta take them. And then once the Syrians get there, because they're Arabic, now they're Palestinians. That's what he's saying.
Oh, that makes sense then.
But I also want to say this. And I'm going to quote.
That's what he's saying.
Basically.
I was giving him far too much credit.
Yeah.
Because that makes zero sense.
Saudi foreign ministry officials claim that the nation has received nearly 2.5 million Syrians since 2011. However, the BBC reports that Saudi Arabia has let in 500,000 Syrian refugees since 2011. While Arab News reported that Saudi Arabia was already home to 500,000 Syrians. So.
Okay. So. So we're saying that Saudi Arabia is lying about taking in 500,000 refugees because there were already 500,000.
No, that's an addition.
That's an addition.
Yes.
Wow,
so that would
they
be a million
500
Syrians
million?
Total.
Or the
500,000 is the low end estimate that people are giving.
Right.
Whereas Saudi Arabia itself says it's 2.5 million. So it's somewhere between there.
Let's call it in between.
I'll tell you what, it's not. It's not zero.
Yeah.
Alex is so fucking
stupid.
It's
definitely not zero because it's a million times more than the number we've taken in.
Well, I mean, since a couple months ago. We were taking in quite a few before.
Not really.
We were taking in some.
We were taking in very few.
Should have taken in more. But
should totally have taken in more.
But before old man Trump got involved.
Old man Trump.
Before old man Trump got in the house. we were taking in some. Agreed. We should take in more. But be that as it may, Alex's whole narrative is busted there.
The fact that they, no, that's they don't, the dumb.
They don't take in any, but now, fucking millions of princes getting billions of dollars, air-conditioned cities.
Does he not understand money or science or
cities?
A tent? Did he say they have three big air-conditioned tents?
City tents.
That house millions of peoples.
He's talking about like refugee camps that allegedly are empty. And this is something I haven't researched, but I don't think is true. I can't speak to this, but he likes to make the claim that like Saudi Arabia has these giant refugee camps that are air conditioned and just for giggles, they don't let anyone live in them.
Basically. That is pretty funny.
It's a great prank.
That is a pretty funny prank.
Yeah. Johnny Knoxville sitting there like, I should have thought of that.
Yeah. I should. He just doesn't have the seed money for it though.
No, that's true.
Jackass 4 has really got to raise a lot of money. They would need a Saudi prince to finance that shit.
One of those 300.
Exactly.
I think he's thinking of the Spartans.
300 princes. Get billions of dollars a year.
Some of them get billions.
Some of them,
most of them
get
millions.
Most of them get millions. Yeah. And I love his quote. You just get billions of dollars because you're what? Saudi prince? Then moving on. And that was it.
Well, I mean, Trump's kids got millions of dollars just for being.
No talkie! Fake news!
Just for being.
Fake news! What? Are they just some sort of royalty that they're, because their parents are wealthy and with power, they get to be wealthy with power too? I mean, that's, we should get rid of the estate tax.
But again, like, let's just try and keep track of what he's talking about and how this all fits, like, from clip to clip. It's going to be very difficult.
Oh, is there a narrative arc to this?
There's not, but.
Because so far I've seen very little, even clause to clause, we're dealing with completely different subjects.
There's no narrative arc, but that's what I want to keep track of. Is the fact that, again, I have not cut out anything from in between
these. This is a full 13, okay.
This is literally, right. There's nothing that like, there's, okay, I could see Alex wishing that I had been like sitting here before you came over and just been giggling and taking out all the words that make this make sense.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
No.
I had no time to do that. I just got off work.
Now I kind of want to just write a transcript down for the rest of the episode word for word.
Ugh. Okay. So anyway,
then we'll put it in the book.
Here's the next clip. And I want to say within about two or three clips, we're going to get into Juice City. Juicy stuff. But we're still a little bit in the preamble, which if this is the preamble and it's this fucked up.
Yeah, I still, okay.
You're starting to maybe get a sense why I called this manna from heaven.
Right. I'm still, wait, so the dog's name is Nonk?
Nonk!
Why do they name the dog Nonk?
They aren't Saudi princes, what are they supposed to name him?
Alright, fair enough.
Alright, here we go.
It's not that I'm even against Israel or for Israel. I don't say that like I'm on some fence. I get to see the Jewish newspapers in Israel attack me all day and make crap up because I'm not anti-Israel like George Soros. I mean, I get it. I can't be allowed to have any credibility. I'm not George Soros.
What?
I mean, I understand. I just know Israel isn't running the world. The globalists are running the world.
Wait.
What? What's up? Why are you confused?
All of that.
Mm-hmm.
All of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's not that he's for or against Israel,
no.
Though in our previous clips from this very episode, he has said he's very pro-Israel.
Sure.
Jewish newspapers are attacking him constantly.
Well, there was that one because he kept talking about the Jewish mafia led by George Soros,
right,
who helped Nazis in World War II. And,
right.
Yeah.
But they're attacking him. He gets to see him every day attacking mm-hmm. him.
Every day.
Because he's not anti-Israel like George Soros. So is he saying that the Jewish newspapers,
yes,
notoriously state-controlled Jewish newspapers,
uh-huh,
are anti-Israel?
I think that if you're really trying to track his sentence, that is what he's saying. Which is
because I was really trying to do that.
Do you want to listen to that again?
Which was
if it makes
very
sense?
Difficult.
We should listen to this again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Start from square one.
It's not that I'm even against Israel or for Israel.
Plus
I don't say that like I'm on some fence. I get to see the Jewish newspapers in Israel attack me all day and make crap up.
He gets to see them.
But he did say the Jewish newspapers in Israel. He's not talking about some American Jewish newspaper.
No.
Jewish newspapers in Israel attacking him for what?
Because I'm not anti-Israel like George Soros. I mean, I get it. I can't be allowed to have any credibility. I'm not George Soros. I mean, I understand. Huh. I just know Israel.
What is Israel?
Is it running the world? The globalists around the world.
Which, again, is an anti-Semitic canard. So, like,
that does really screw up his whole thing.
No, it doesn't. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, the globalist is thinly veiled anti-Semitism.
But he doesn't know that. I don't think he gets that.
I mean, that's a good point.
I think that he thinks they're different, but they're not. He has.
Wait, so you think the globalists are Jewish?
I don't think the globalists exist.
You are racist.
The Jewish newspapers are going to be writing about me.
You know, oh, if only you were anti-Israel like George Soros.
Wait, but if I'm anti-Semitic, maybe they'll write a good piece about me.
Who knows anymore?
You up have is to, down. You down have to, is up.
You have to pronounce missile pixie stick backwards.
Oh, no. I love a pixie stick.
Otherwise, it'll follow you.
Oh, shit. That's so dumb. But
that's unbelievably dumb.
More to the point, I mean, this just came up just now, and I think it's fascinating that you didn't quite understand this premise, that Alex doesn't understand that the belief in the globalists controlling the world is thinly veiled anti-Semitism.
I assumed he knew that on some level.
You thought that he was consciously anti-Semitic and just choosing to ignore that.
Yeah.
No, I don't think he knows.
You think he has no idea?
No. Based on his inability to read, based on his complete lack of self-awareness, I think that he read this dumbass book when he was 12, got this wild hair up his ass about the globalists, and he's gone down that road not realizing that every single cobblestone along the way is anti-Semitic. He has no idea. He's that dumb.
He is Mr. Magoo.
He is an intellectual Magoo.
He is just wandering blind, and somehow he's become successful. He has no idea what's going on ever.
Well, that's because I think a lot of the people who do listen to him get it and think he gets it.
Well, so, yeah, how could you make any other conclusion?
Well, because I think a lot of anti-Semitic people are big fans.
Of course. And if you were listening to Alex Jones regularly, and you were anti-Semitic, boy, you got plenty of ammo to support your argument.
To be fair, most of the conspiracy community, the only complaints they really have about him is he's not anti-Israel enough.
Right.
So, like,
if he were George Soros.
Man.
If he were George Soros.
Were he to be a Soros.
Have we seen the two of them in the same room together, first of all?
No.
All right.
Boy,
so
that would be a fucking bad dinner party. that would be the worst.
That would be like a drawing room mystery dinner party in the 20s where
who killed Dan? Oh, yeah. he killed himself.
By the end of this night, we shall know who the killer is.
Oh, Dan committed suicide to get away from this bullshit. Dan tried to get Alex to shut up. It didn't work. Necktie.
Though you had incentive to kill Dan, you did not. You are not the murderer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alex Jones.
So here's the thing you need to know about Alex Jones, though. Despite all this convoluted nonsense and him being a complete idiot, what you need to know.
I do know that. Don't point at me this hard.
That's not what you need to know. What you need to know is that he is a man of principles.
Oh, no.
I just get so sick of the pseudo-intellectuals sitting back going, hey, Alex, tell us how Israel runs your life, or the Vatican, or let me tell you what runs my life. My conscience runs my life.
My conscience is so strong that
even though some things probably aren't good for my family, I do the right thing no matter what's going on. And that's not because I'm some wonderful person. I've got an operating system that I'm not a dirtbag psychopath.
He's still running Lion on OSX, perfectly right.
But I want to do because of the flesh. I'm guilty for that.
I think he's talking about fucking people. I think he's talking about hookers.
He's talking about hookers.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
He always does the right thing.
But, you know, if he fucks, he fucks, you know?
Guy's got to get a nut off.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the fuck is that? What is that?
He's telling a lot of truth. I don't think he wants to tell us.
Well, but he's like, I'm guided by my conscience. And sometimes my conscience is so strong that I have to do things that are bad for my family. What the fuck does that mean, number one? And then second, his next thought is, hey, if sometimes I get tempted by the flesh, I've done something wrong and I feel bad about it.
Like pay for multiple abortions.
Whoa! But that's not of the flesh. That's just being a coward.
What do you mean that's not of the flesh?
I don't.
That means he's fucking some people that he doesn't want to have a kid with.
That's fair, but it could still be a partner of some sort.
It could be.
But what I said, him paying for multiple abortions is him being a coward. I don't mean that if you get an abortion, you're a coward.
No.
I mean because he's who he is.
Yes.
Because he yells about responsibility and those sorts of things,
and he does not always do the right thing.
Yes, absolutely not. But that's fucked up.
That is fucked up.
That's more evidence of my argument. He has absolutely no self-awareness. So the idea that he wouldn't know he's being a big anti-Semite and bigot makes sense if he thinks he's guided by his conscience.
Right.
He's not.
And if he's guided by his conscience to screw hookers, then he's always doing the right thing.
But you know what? My conscience sometimes tells me I've got to pay a lady for sex. She's got to go to school. You know, she's got to get her education. She's got to pay for college.
Wow.
You know, I'm doing the right thing.
You are a hero.
I'm an absolute hero.
Who else is going to take care of her?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Me.
She's a prostitute.
Dan, that's who.
Sex workers without Dan, what would they do?
Let me be clear. I've never gone to a hooker. I'm not against it. Just never have.
I prefer not to use the word hooker.
I apologize. Sex worker. I just wanted to make that clear.
Hookers would say something like that.
I just don't want someone to take me out of context, much like everyone else does to Alex. You know what they do? They do take Alex out of context
they
all
do.
The time.
If only they had a 13-minute long straight clip of him being batshit insane.
Well, I mean, hey, you know what? It's the compulsion to lie about him is strong. And you know what? He has some thoughts about that.
I don't want to talk about myself all day, but you know, when
yes,
you're being
you
attacked in 100+ newspapers a day, every day, sometimes 1,000 newspapers, sometimes 5,000.
Seems high.
Sometimes every paper in the country, they're so controlled, and every major NBC, ABC, CBS, NBC affiliate will attack me and lie about me, and I've got to sit there and I got to take it.
He sounds like
I got to take weak-minded people on the street that don't know that's a lie, and I got to sit there and watch them disdain me and hate me. And it doesn't hurt me when they're hating me because of my ego.
Oh, it so hurts
me. It hurts me because they're deceived.
It hurts him so bad.
He is such a victim.
This has gone... How many clips have you played?
That was number 7. Now, keep in mind, not all of them are a minute long. We're probably 4 minutes into the clip.
We're only 4 minutes into the clip.
Yeah. This goes places you could not possibly predict.
I've already gone through a weird emotional roller coaster here.
And again, I stress, I cut nothing out.
He's mad at billionaires.
Yeah.
Who are from Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
Not taking refugees.
Air conditioned tents.
Jewish newspapers are attacking him. He's got no positive or negative stance on Israel. He does have a pro-Israel stance though.
His dog
was
nonk.
He's not on the fence. His dog was nonk. And now he's starting to cry a little bit because he feels like, and he does feel it.
Oh yeah.
Like you can hear it in his voice. Mm-hmm. He's like, everybody, I don't understand why people are being mean to me.
Why is everybody picking on me?
I'm just trying to tell the truth. I'm just a Texan trying to tell the truth.
He really thinks he's being bullied.
He really does.
He doesn't realize that he is the bully. It's so crazy. It's so delicious.
It's like the extreme, you know, the phrase like everybody thinks they're the hero of their own story.
Yeah,
I mean, everybody, but some people gotta know they're the villain, right?
Some people gotta know they're the Goebbels.
Yeah, exactly.
Of the story.
And Alex Jones has no idea that he is the actual evil here.
Yeah.
And even in his persecution, he has to be megalomaniacal and say it's sometimes every newspaper in the country.
I did some research on it, actually, in terms of daily newspapers.
Yeah.
In 2014, there were 1,331 daily newspapers.
In the country.
In the United States.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And it's a downward trend, so you could probably say there's maybe about 1,000 daily newspapers in the United States. I'm going to say 2 of them have ever covered Alex Jones. Maybe.
Well, the New York Times did do that profile.
That's one.
And then we got,
Washington Post maybe did like a piece on him or something like that.
That's possible. I would go with,
Austin Chronicle maybe.
The Toronto Star. Is that an American newspaper?
No, sir.
Is that a hockey team?
I think it is.
All right.
That's the Toronto Maple Leafs. Maybe. We do not know our hockey.
No.
Congratulations on Cubs season starting, by the way. I'm very excited about that.
It's very exciting.
It has nothing to do with anything.
So anyway. Well, it's run by the Ricketts, who are absolutely globalists. Even though the globalists don't exist, if they did, the Ricketts would be right on them.
And Ricketts is a disease, right? Isn't it an old person disease?
It sure is.
Anyway. there's no way 100 newspapers a day are talking about Alex.
There's no way.
Zero chance of it.
Not possible.
But again, it goes back to what we talk about all the time. This perception of victimhood he has. Everything is an attack. He's always under attack. Paranoia.
Combined with that kind of megalomania.
Right. And
where it's not just that people are attacking him and he's a victim of people. Mm-hmm. It's that the entire system is attacking him,
mm-hmm.
which gives him that inflated importance that he wants so badly.
But you would describe that sort of thing as like kind of mental illness, probably, I would assume.
I would probably describe it as a certain type of paranoid delusion.
Interesting. This is going to make this next clip a little bit uncomfortable then.
And I think about what it'd be like to be that them, because they're slaves. You know how I get over it?
Oh, no.
Okay. Austin, Texas is a big site of homeless people. Because the city doesn't run them off. And they've gotten rid of the mental institutions the last 20, 30 years. So there's schizophrenics and people all over the streets. And almost every major four-way stop in downtown Austin, but way out 20 miles outside of the city, has got schizophrenics begging for money. And they're so whacked out of their brain half the time, they're not even asking for money. I don't give money to the con artists that are out there. But I see somebody missing their legs or whatever, a diabetic, I give them some money. But I see those schizophrenics. They're having arguments with themselves. They're talking to the wind.
Jesus Christ.
Holy
shit. He cannot
shit.
Hear that. That is, if he were self-aware, he would have to have been like, oh, there but for the grace of God go I.
I am so much like these people.
Yeah, did he? Oh.
It's so tone deaf.
He didn't connect any of those dots.
No. So, but you're getting this. It's like once, you know, everyone's being brainwashed by the media thinking I'm a liar. I feel bad because they are so misled. So to make myself feel better, I go and look at crazy people. I go look at crazy homeless people.
That is kind of what that is kind of what he meant there. I think what he meant was he gives away.
Well, not to the con artists.
Not to the con artists.
But
well,
I 100% don't think he could tell.
No, absolutely not.
So he's really...
Well, they do know their own.
He's talking a big game about how like severe the homeless problem is in Austin, Texas. So I pulled up some statistics. And the number one city in America for homeless population...
L.A.
New York.
New York.
75,323 at the last count.
Right.
Below that, Los Angeles and the surrounding county is 41,174. We go down to Chicago. That's like seven on the list with 6,786, which is too many.
Too many.
Austin is a little over 2,000. So, I mean.
Austin is a smaller town, I think, relatively speaking.
It's still a pretty big urban center. It's a hot city. The temperature, the climate is much better than Chicago.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, that's, look, I don't want to brag about our homeless population or anything like that, but it's
that's
like,
a weird thing to brag about.
We are definitely in a place where we are far more regularly in contact with the mentally ill. And he's talking about them shutting down mental hospitals. The part of town that I live in, ROM did shut down a mental hospital around here. And it's absolute tragedy.
Yeah.
To see a lot of the times.
Yeah. Fucking Reagan. It goes all the way back to that horrifying
absolutely.
Monster of a man, Reagan.
Now, here's my point. I can understand what he's saying in terms of, like, I've experienced this wandering around and seeing the tragedy of life gone wrong. I don't use that as self-care. That's not how I make myself feel better.
If you were a schizophrenic that made it out?
I don't think I still would. I think
it's kind of like that small town homeboy story, except for it's all schizophrenics. They look at Alex Jones and be like, "A boy done good. A boy done got out of here."
It's just so bizarre to me that like that's his response to seeing mentally ill homeless people. It is like, "Hey, you know what? I feel better about the rest of the population, I guess."
No, he feels better about him.
I guess he explains a little bit more in the rest of this clip. So I should let that play, and then we can get back to this.
And I realize here I am, conscious, aware of geopolitical systems, tied into things. No, probably nobody else is. Very few. Let's just put it to you that way. Not on a power trip to say that, but because I followed this path this far down, and then every now deeper I go. The connections, the discernment, the trust I have with people only intensifies. Now look at the public. And they're like mentally ill schizophrenics talking to themselves. When somebody makes fun of me in a restaurant or comes over and knocks my drink over with my family, or somebody slaps me in the back of the head, and I'm at the beach with my kids, says, "Hey, racist, son, beat your ass, you Trump supporter."
What?
I cannot get up now and take them down because I realize they're a victim. And I don't take any pleasure in that.
Yeah, man. Does that make it better?
I have no idea. Does he think these things are actually happening?
Does he think these thoughts are connected?
That's a good question. No, does he think people... Does he... Okay, because that did not happen.
What,
people
which
did
part?
Not go to a restaurant with him and his family and knock his drinks over.
I can't imagine it did.
That didn't happen.
It's within the realm of possible, but it's very unlikely.
He definitely wasn't hit on the back of the head at the beach with his kids.
And someone was like, "Hey, I want to kick your ass, you Trump supporter."
Yeah, no, that's not
say,
a thing.
If they did do that, they'd be like, "I'm going to kick your ass, Alex Jones."
Yeah.
Everyone knows who exactly
also,
who you are.
Also, he's on the beach. How do you know he's a Trump supporter? Is he wearing a
MAGA?
He's wearing this MAGA hat.
MAGA hat.
Yeah,
all
a good
times.
Point. That's a good.
MAGA
point.
Speedo.
Well, I mean, he
MAGA
could,
Speedo. G. I, G over the dick.
I would wear a MAGA Speedo. But like, make America's dick great again.
The idea that someone would want to beat him up for supporting Trump is like, in my mind, that's
way
the,
low on the list of like, things you want to beat Alex Jones
it's
up.
It's like
for.
Number 8.
Yeah. Way low on the list.
It barely ranks.
So, but again, if he, cause he sounds like he believes these things actually happened.
Yeah.
He sounds really convinced these things actually happened.
I imagine when he was out at a restaurant, someone bumped into him and like he knocked over a glass accidentally and he took it as like, "That guy fucking knocked over my glass. He probably probably in with Hillary."
Right.
Is that
maybe somebody hit him with a frisbee?
Is that John Podesta throwing that frisbee?
Is that John Podesta throwing that frisbee?
Might have been.
That's my new game
show. He loves frisbee golf. He loves extreme. Anyway, I also want to say that clip doesn't make his stance on viewing the mentally ill any better.
No. It provides more ammunition for him being personally mentally ill.
Well, he fakes crying and is like, "Everyone is like this but me."
Yeah. You know, like a person without mental illness does.
Like a schizophrenic person.
Yeah.
Does.
Yeah. Exactly like that.
Oh, man. He just needs to sit down with John Rappaport so he can tell him that the DSM-4 isn't real. No, don't worry that you fit this diagnosis.
Look, let me... Here, let's just do it one more time. Let's just go down the list. You tell me which things you believe. Okay. Persistent feelings of paranoia and everybody's out to
totally.
Get you. Oh, that's not off... We're not off to a good start.
Wait, I thought you were being Rappaport.
I am being Rappaport.
Hey,
even in this scenario, Rappaport starts to be concerned at number one.
Hey, don't judge me. Hang up that painting. Hang up the goddamn painting, Rappaport.
I got my DSM for you. Number one, do you hang up fucking paintings?
How is
no?
Alex?
All right, well then you're the one who's crazy.
How has Alex not noticed that? By
I
the
have
way?
No idea.
John Rappaport's been on for years with
how
that painting
is no
not hung
one,
up.
How? Or maybe more importantly, why is this driving us insane?
Cause we have,
what is it with this fucking painting?
Cause it's the littlest thing. It's the smallest thing and it's so bizarre. Like, I'm not interested in why he doesn't get a better microphone that doesn't, like, totally showcases denture mouth.
Nope, don't
I don't
need
care
that.
About that. That's,
no, who
that's,
gives a shit?
You know, whatever. You live your life, Rappaport. Mm. You like the headset? I got it. It's cool.
Is it set deck?
It takes.
Does he have a set decorator on hand to put this whole set together
specifically to drive us crazy?
Specifically to drive us crazy.
It's possible.
Like the set decorator from the Addams Family.
Uh-huh.
Who just like, how do we make this room look a little bit more decrepit?
How do we get it just slightly off?
I know. An unhung portrait.
That would be super weird.
It would be terrifying. It would drive two people insane.
This is the closest that we come to you and I being like on Mystery Science Theater. Is us being driven nuts by John Rappaport not hanging up that painting. Anyway, hang it up, Rappaport.
And Mystery Science Theater comes back this Friday.
It does. It's very exciting.
Very exciting.
Jordan.
Yes.
This clip is about to take a turn that you could not possibly predict.
Of course not. We've already been crying after princes get billions of dollars.
Again. Cut out nothing.
Okay.
Cut out nothing.
All right.
Alex was just talking about how he doesn't want to beat up people who are dumb and have
been tricked.
He
doesn't take any joy in it.
No. But if he did.
Because they're victims.
I guess if he did take joy in it, he could beat up victims. I don't know. But again, it's just evidence.
He has insinuated that he would like to beat up victims in the past.
He certainly emotionally and verbally beat up plenty of victims.
Absolutely.
Especially these refugees that Saudi Arabia is taking in. But anyway, this next clip, hold on to your fucking hat.
All right.
Because this is weird.
Okay.
I'll tell you this. Before we go to Dominique and everybody else has been holding like patriots. I realized something that is fundamental to our species and this planet and this great experiment we're part of.
Oh, fuck.
If the species is destroyed through war, genetic engineering, natural disaster, everything our species did before us, everything our ancestors did to survive is destroyed.
That's not the crazy part. That's not.
I mean, that's kind of just accurate, I guess.
I just wanted to stop there to point out that he just realized that.
That can't be real.
Well, like, if
he has to have thought about that before.
Of course, if the world blows up, it doesn't matter what happened in Greece. No one's going to remember.
Yeah.
The annals of history go away if the world ends.
Did he not realize that?
Apparently not.
You really think he did? Or do you think he thinks his listeners didn't realize that?
Maybe he's trying to blow minds.
I think that's more along the lines of what he's
doing. It's possible. I think he knows.
I think he feels like he's the only person who knew that, who has thought this out in advance, is like, hey, I don't know if you idiots threatening nuclear war know this.
Oh, see, that's...
But if you kill everybody, everybody's dead.
See, that's more aggressive than the fantasy version I had based on what we were saying.
Okay.
I imagined him as the fake deep guy in a smoker circle.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Everyone's passing around a joint.
Right.
Did you ever consider that if the world ends, all history goes away? Just pass the goddamn joint, Alex.
Now, here's the part that is super fucked up. Because, again, we've been talking about Saudi Arabia having air-conditioned tents.
Prince Israel,
nonk.
Pseudo-intellectuals, nonk.
Can't save drowning people.
100-plus newspapers.
Everybody lies about
Can't
Alex all the time.
Can't save drowning people. Can't save drowning people.
This is so weird. Here we go.
And so, for me, we're in a long-term war for humanity to escape the planet.
Yep. We gotta leave.
Okay. All right. Now I see what's happening.
You do? You do?
Yeah. It's obvious. It's obvious now. We've connected all the dots with that one sentence. Everything makes sense now,
no,
right?
No,
everything makes perfect sense. We have to destroy the planet we're on in order to give us the proper motivation to get off this planet and spread throughout the universe. How do we destroy the planet we're on?
Trump.
Somebody must come to power who will facilitate the actual destruction of humanity.
Well, no, that's Bannon-ish. I think that's Steve Bannon-ish.
Yeah.
But that's not Alex Jones-ish.
And that's Alex Jones-ish.
No. I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. But he doesn't know that he's the pawn of Steve Bannon.
That's probably true also.
He's just a man who wants to see the stars.
Much like he doesn't realize he's anti-Semitic, he doesn't realize he's being played like a $5 fiddle.
We're in a war to get off this planet.
Wow.
Who are we in a war with?
Ourselves?
The globalists?
Time?
Are the globalists trying to keep us from getting off this planet?
I don't know, because he always talks about how the globalists are a breakaway civilization. I think he's afraid that they're going to go to space and leave us behind.
Oh.
Like Elysium, because he loves movies.
Yeah.
So I think that he has talked about that a whole bunch. But, boy, I mean, none of these thoughts track at all. But again, you...
It's time to get out. It's time to... Listen.
I'm listening.
Alex Jones,
mm-hmm.
Get your ass to Mars.
And by Mars, we mean therapy. But you agree with me, right? I mean, like, he doesn't sound drunk.
No, he is definitely not drunk.
Of all the times we've listened to him, we're like, this guy is drunk.
No, this is not drunk. This is not drunk Alex.
He's saying nonsense, but this isn't the right Hobo Jones.
This is Alex Jones on the cusp of a breakthrough. This is his brain kind of spinning around like a washing machine.
Nope.
He's on the cusp of figuring something out.
Nope. You know what it is?
What?
This is Alex Jones when a guest has canceled. He's had to talk to that lady on the phone that I told you about earlier.
Right.
And Buckley, his producer, is going, stretch it out. Stretch it out. And he's like, fuck, I got nothing. I'm sober. What am I going to do? Fuck, I don't know. Talk weird about how I'm the victim and then talk about space, I guess. I don't know. Who knows?
So you think he's just scatting? You think he's just riffing straight off the dome?
I don't know, because I know where all this goes, and I don't think he had a thesis. Like, based on how he started, it was talking about how everyone thinks he's anti-Semitic. That's not how it ends. That's not how it middles.
So he doesn't resolve that conflict?
No. Well, I mean, okay. He kind of did with the Jewish newspaper bit, but like, I don't know. I've listened to this all the way through. I don't know what the point is. I know how it ends. I don't know.
All right.
Haven't listened to this, and I'm as confused as you.
I'm trying to figure it out. All I know right now is all of this is leading up to we need to steal billions of dollars from Saudi princes. We need to use them to stop the Israeli globalist newspapers from criticizing Alex Jones.
Get those air-conditioned tents, bring them to Austin.
Exactly. What do you build in air-conditioned tents? Spaceships. This is obvious.
Get these homeless people off the planet. It?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Shoot the homeless into space so Alex doesn't have to look at them anymore. That's not what he said. I'm putting words in his
mouth. That would actually
be
him being very, very sad.
So we want to talk about fucking sad. This next clip is sad.
Oh, God.
All right. He has just said that it's a battle to get off the planet.
Yes. It's a war to get off the planet.
Now, this next clip made me so bummed out. And it might be an explanation for some of his toxic masculinity, unfortunately.
Okay.
But you're like, how the fuck is that make sense?
Yeah.
You'll see.
Planet's beautiful. I love it. Just like I loved my mommy when I was 6 years old.
Oh, God, no.
When I was about 6 years old, she kicked me off her lap and said, you can't be a mama's boy now. You don't get any more love because you're going to be a man. And that's what it comes down to.
Oh, we just figured it out. That just happened right there. We just got the flashback that explains everything.
That's
that
the
happened.
Rosetta Stone.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it. That's like the like whenever they do serial killer backgrounds. That's always the moment where you're like,
mom,
oh, it began right there.
His
there
mom
was
emotionally abusive. Like, I don't know if that was one incident that happened to him in his past when his mom was like, you don't get love no more. You don't want to be a mama's boy.
She said, you don't get love no more,
which
right?
Which is crazy.
She said those exact words.
Which makes you think that it's probably an actual memory of his.
Yeah.
The fact that he's using a line of dialogue of hers.
Yeah. And he's not being overly specific like he normally does when
he's
lying about
that. Gilding the lie.
Yeah, he's not like, I remember I was on the porch with my mama sitting on her lap. She was wearing a floral print dress like
right.
The women did back in those days. He's sitting on a rocking chair, rocking back and forth, and then she slaps me and you don't get no love no more.
And I think that long pause is more an effect of like, oh, why did I say that?
Yeah.
Less that he's being like actually really emotional. And that's another indication that something is bullshit is when he starts fake crying and stuff like that.
Right.
He's not overtly like, I watched the video. He's not overtly like fake crying like he does when he's full of shit.
Yeah.
When he's talking about mama kicked me off the lap, you know, that sort of thing. It's just sort of like, I think it might have happened. I feel really bad for you.
Yeah. That's a Peter like stone that holds up that church right there.
My mom was not like the most attentive to my needs and what have you, but she wasn't nearly that bad. Like I'm still dealing with it as a 32-year-old man. Like, I'm still in therapy talking about how my mom was way too distant when I was younger.
Oh, boy.
And what have you, and she didn't.
You are sharing too much.
No, I'm not.
I know.
I'm just, you know, I'm being real.
I know.
I'm being real with it.
You're just being Alex Jones.
No, but, you know, I'm dealing.
I know. Now you're right. I feel terrible about that smart ass comment.
No, it's
I'm
fine.
So sorry. Genuine emotion makes me feel uncomfortable.
Listen, our focus is Alex.
Suddenly we get very weird.
Like, Jordan, how are you holding up in therapy?
Dude, I don't know.
That's always the best answer.
Yeah.
I have no fucking idea.
Man, who knows?
So his mom abused him. Alex definitely had at least emotional abuse from his mom, and that
Agreed.
Does. And, you know, he's clearly hero worships his dad, who's a CIA dentist of some sort.
Yes.
And so it kind of makes sense. A lot of these really bad ideas about gender roles and about masculinity. And the idea that his maternal figure would be like, don't be a pussy. You're a man. That reinforces even further all of these masculinity ideas. Like,
yeah.
That's terrifying. I can't imagine what that would be like for a child. Although, I do know that when his mom threw him off the leg, that was at 6, which is when he was reading military history books.
So, maybe, Alex Jones, you should have started relating more to your mother.
Maybe.
Instead of reading military history books. What did she like to do? Did you ever consider that, Alex?
I wonder what she's like. It's outside the scope of our show,
I'm
very curious.
I'm going to go with probably a lot nicer than we could ever have imagined.
Yeah, I mean,
like, I bet she turns out to be a fucking saint and Alex Jones is just a fucking lunatic.
Yeah, based on the fact that Alex is such a liar, I bet maybe she is a decent person.
Yeah, I bet she's great.
I have no idea, but I do know that you wouldn't tell that story on air unless...
I bet she would come on our show.
Oh, that would be great.
That would be great.
I look, whether his mom was the perpetrator of some sort of child abuse against him when he was younger or not, I don't know.
In his mind, she was.
Yes.
So regardless of our objective reality, which has very little bearing on this show, period.
But also, the bigger point is that whether she was the perpetrator or not, something fucking happened.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't come on air on your fucking nationally syndicated radio show and say something like that if there wasn't some sort of an incident.
Yeah.
Now I don't remember shit about when I was 6. Like, at least not specifics. Like, not a ton of specifics.
But I'm assuming if your mom had told you you don't get love no more, you would remember that.
I bet if a neighbor's parent told you that, you might conflate it in your brain and think it was your mom.
Oh, that's
like
possible.
That. There's all sorts of things, or an aunt. Or a grandma or something like that. There's all kinds of possibilities.
Or have we considered that his mom has actually been dead this whole time?
What, this is like a sixth sense thing?
Yeah. Or, okay, theory.
I'm listening.
His mom died in childbirth having him. So he has always had this resentment towards women for not being around in his life. He was raised by a dad. He was taught how to hunt. He was taught how to do all of this stuff.
His dad
but he never had a female experience.
Because his,
so
dad, because his dad remarried a wolf.
Yep, that wins. Yep.
Very masculine.
Yep, doesn't get more. His dad actually married a Three Wolf Moon t-shirt. That's what happened.
All right, so this next clip... I don't really know what to say about it.
And our destiny is right there in our hands right now.
Right now.
The whole future, unlimited. Humans cannot even imagine what is in store for us.
Chimeras.
Our progeny will look back if we're successful on us as the heroes that laid the cornerstone for everything we do after this that is unlimited. We have to escape this test. If we destroy ourselves, there'll be other tests.
Wait, what? No. No.
I'm not sure what that means.
No. Okay. One, you don't escape a test.
Well, but when
you either pass it or fail
it. The test he's talking about is the Earth.
Right. So we have to escape the Earth.
Yes.
And
it's
if we
space.
Don't...
That's our destiny.
If we don't escape the Earth...
No. If we destroy ourselves...
Right. Then there's just going to be more tests?
Which we've already destroyed ourselves.
Yeah.
We'll all be dead, right? No. What? I have no idea.
Start that from the beginning one more time.
I don't know if I can. No, I can't.
There's a whole future.
Here you go. Here you go.
There's a whole future.
Here you go.
Actually, you know what? I just want to hear the last 5 words again.
I can't. It's 40 seconds long. Just listen to it.
We're meant to. And our destiny...
Our destiny...
It's right there in our hands right now.
Hallowed be thy name.
The whole future, unlimited. Humans cannot even imagine what is in store for us.
Our progeny
will look back if we're successful.
What did he just say?
What do you mean?
Humans cannot imagine.
Imagine?
humans cannot imagine what is
was in store for us. Yeah, I think that's what he was saying.
All right.
You know what the other thing that I've noticed about him a lot is, like, cause he, I think maybe it's cause he's Texan or whatever, but he makes me really mad a lot of the times cause he has some similarities to like Dusty Rhodes. And I love Dusty Rhodes. Sometimes when he gets, sometimes when he gets worked up because he's talking about it's right there in our hands. And I'm like, it kind of makes me think of the Hard Times promo where Dusty Rhodes is talking about my hand is reaching out for your hand. And I'm like, Dusty Rhodes is great. He is a working class hero. He's everything I love. And Alex Jones sucks.
Alex Jones is the polar opposite.
Yeah, it's just like, it kind of makes me bummed out that he has some
sort of... the Lex Luthor to his
he's
Batman.
He's the Ric Flair to this Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
It sucks that the verbal similarities are there, though, because sometimes it just gets up in my head.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's just everybody from Texas. That's what they sound like.
Yeah.
On us as the heroes that laid the cornerstone for everything we do after this. That is unlimited. We have to escape this test.
That is literally the definition of history.
Mm-hmm.
Every generation is looked back upon as being the cornerstone for what happened for the next generation.
Yeah, those who did things in the past have set the table for the present.
Yeah, that's everything.
Yep.
That's everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they'll still, like, if we make it off, they'll still be like, you know that guy Socrates, he was pretty cool too.
Yeah.
They're going to remember that.
Uh-huh.
Maybe not Socrates. Maybe let's go with Galileo.
I've lost track of what you're saying because I'm so excited about what's about to happen.
All right, let's bail. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to figure out how he thinks history works.
Time is a circle. He watched, you know what? I think he's watched True Detective. I think that's what he's.
He sounds like he's from Texas, right?
I mean, all those, all of his beliefs about the elite sex rings and what have you certainly matches up with.
Yeah.
Anyway, this next clip actually is not what I'm super excited about, but the clip after. Hold on here.
Tease it.
So fucking
tease
good.
It like a sex worker should.
Now this next clip, this one I'm playing right now, I don't remember what it says. The title of it is Lindsey Graham Sucks. Fair enough.
Lindsey Graham sucks.
The people like Lindsey Graham, people like John McCain, they want temporal power now.
Now!
They want control. They want to show the planet they're in charge. Instead of chivalry and honor and building something true. Not because others won't stab you in the back, but because you're going to trailblaze the path to the future.
It's interesting.
What the fuck is he talking about?
I have no idea. But
those aren't words that make sense.
Isn't it interesting?
You can't combine all those words.
Isn't it interesting that he's stammering and kind of like screwing up words more than when he's drunk?
Yeah.
Like,
he's just
clearly sober.
Lost.
And he's, he said, we will be the ones who have laid the foundation. He said, blade the foundation. He fucked up a word in that sentence. It's insane. Like when he's drunk, he's very clear.
I think he just doesn't care right now.
I mean, it does go back to my argument that he's just filling time.
Yeah, but he seems really sad.
Cernovich
like,
canceled.
He seems out of it.
I don't want to go back to the callers.
No, we're not doing that.
They have burned me. You know, that sort of thing. That's what's going on in his mind. He's like, ah, shit, that interview with Savage. I really just got worried that his name wasn't Savage. Because it sounds so stupid. That interview with Savage didn't go as well as I wanted it to. He seems to be veering away from Trump. Oh, no. What's going on? Come back from break. Do a little karaoke. And then I'm going to talk nonsense.
He might as well just be doing that. Just
He basically does by the end of this.
Yeah. That's all he's doing.
It's exciting.
All right.
All right. And I've built this up. This next clip up quite a bit.
Yes.
Now I want to say this. Don't say a word over this clip.
I'm not touching it.
And
I could already sense in advance that you would not want me to speak over
what
this.
I'm going to do is I'm going to stare at your face.
Because
I want to try and sense the exact moment that you realize what he's talking about.
Okay.
Because it's unclear at first, but then it becomes clear and you will revel in this bullshit.
All right, you're giving me a lot of credit.
This also might be a slight indication that he listens to our show. Or it's possible he's seen one of our tweets.
Okay.
One of the two.
Okay.
But, oh man, here we go.
Here we go.
You look at China, you look at North Korea, you look at the things that are happening, and you can see how much danger this planet is in. That's why I get guilty when I get angry or say things tongue-in-cheek or my dog dies. My dog had just died the night before. Blood pouring out his nose and mouth. I'm not complaining. I'm telling the story. My dog had just died the night before. I've been up all night long, burying the next day at my parents. They were on vacation. It was their dog. It used to be my dog staying with me. Blood was pouring out. He was dying. He chased the cat around for hours playing, had a heart attack, died. Aneurysm, whatever it was. Blood was coming out. And I shouldn't have gone to work that day, and I shouldn't have been up that night. The tireder I am, the more I work, at like 11 o'clock at night saying, you call me a Russian agent, I'll punch you in the nose and all this stuff. That was me just sad about my dog. Because the truth is, somebody calling me stuff I'm not doesn't even really make me that mad.
Yeah.
Whoa! So, oh, shit.
What bullshit?
Here's the even crazier part.
Yeah.
That just reminded me of whenever he said he had to beat his dog to death.
Well, no, he had to beat someone else's dog to death.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Well.
Because he's dumb. That dog is dumb.
That dog is dumb. Wow. So he's saying that instead of him being shit-faced.
Yeah.
He was just sad over his parents' dog having a heart attack and blood coming out of its eyes.
Which is what happens when you have a heart attack.
Is that what happens when you have a heart attack?
I think not.
I don't think it is.
Also, I don't think that's what happens when you have an aneurysm either.
No, I don't think so.
I don't understand the visual of it, but holy shit, that whole thing. We covered that entire episode where he was drunk for 2 hours. Again, I have pictures of the cup that he's drinking out of. He's wasted. He's like, oh, I was just sad about my dog dying. You
and
coward.
You know what?
You fucking coward.
We might actually be the only people who said he was drunk.
Yeah, I've not seen that from anybody.
No.
I've not seen that reported except for on Knowledge Fight.
We have breaking news.
Yeah.
An exclusive, we know when Alex Jones is drunk.
Or sad about his dog.
Or drunk because he's sad about his dog. I would drink if my dog just died.
You know what? Totally fine.
Yeah.
I'm totally fine with
that. As long as he owns up, hey, my dog died and I got a little shit face. Yeah.
The only thing that I agree with him, like the truth in there, is I shouldn't have gone to work.
That is a really good point.
The excuses.
Also, he wasn't going to work.
No.
That was all on his own.
That was in the evening.
That was a special report. He didn't have to do that, period.
Also,
it wasn't even like he was going to work.
Also, when he says it was at 11 o'clock at night, he's lying.
Yeah.
It's time stamped. He says it's 9 o'clock in the middle of that episode.
Right.
So it's 2 hours earlier than when he said it was.
But he was drunk enough not to know what time it was.
But 11 o'clock, you know, that is kind of like, okay, you've been up all day and now it's 11 o'clock. Spoiler alert, we're recording this at 8:45.
Yeah.
So you want to timestamp this? But like,
and neither of our dogs have died today.
No. I don't even have a dog. I got a cat. I'm a cat dude. Come
You're
at me,
cat,
Alex.
Dude.
Bring it. My point is when
Defensive
I heard
Dan.
That, holy shit. I got so excited. Because this has been minutes of tangential nonsense unrelated to anything. And then he says, the world is in danger. Super long pause.
Crazy long pause.
And then
I looked at you because you were, well, one, because you had this weird rhythm thing where every second you were turning your head a little bit and shifting it in perfect time.
That might be because of my hair.
Yeah. And it was forever.
Yeah. It was
that
super
pause
long.
Was so long.
Yeah. And then he's like, I shouldn't have gone to work.
My dog died.
He doesn't even say what he's talking about.
No, but we know exactly what he's talking about.
Oh, 100%. I bet there's a lot of people who listen to that and is like, oh, that's really sad. Sorry to hear that, Alex. You came to work when you shouldn't have.
Yeah, no.
They have no idea that he's talking about the time he was fucking wasted on air.
Yeah.
Fucking wasted as shit.
Oh, shit.
I don't care how sad you are about your dog. That ways to learn clip. There's no fucking way that's sadness.
I mean, it's recognition of his own mortality. I don't know.
No, but back to what we were saying.
There's four ways to learn, and one of them is when your dog dies.
If he'd said that, we might have way more context.
Yeah, well, we might.
His emotional state.
We might have more common ground with him, too.
But also the idea that we got sort of sidetracked off this, but like if his dog died and it was grisly like he's describing and he's like, oh, I got a drink, that totally makes sense. I'd get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
And you shouldn't go into work. We agree.
But if you're sad about your dog and then you start screaming obscenity because the gloves are off and then you get homophobic, and you talk about wanting to sell your car and then misalign
right,
Muslims.
I forgot the part where he talks about that's the part that really should have been in the news is him being like, I bought this car. It was nothing more Americana.
What would have been great is if
you know how everybody loves $300,000 cars.
You know what would be great is if there was a link to that episode like on Backpage or something like that. You know, like someone trying to sell a car.
Yeah.
You need a car? Listen to this episode, Alex Jones, because he's moving one.
Alex Jones is trying to get rid of that.
Yeah.
Rarely used.
What a coward, though. Like, what a fucking coward. Just own
hiding
up to it.
Hiding behind your dog. Well, but imagine if he said on air that he was drunk on air.
I would respect him so much more.
Yeah, but his listeners wouldn't.
Who's to say?
That's a good point.
I mean, in for a penny,
that
in for a pound.
That is a good point.
You're like, I don't
think... He would win, like, the more support and be like, yeah, we go to work drunk too.
Or, well, there's that dumb crowd. Yeah. But then there's also the idea of, like, he's so into this weird version of Christianity and, like, demons and what have you. If he was to try and use it as, like, I could see him, like, because we're never going to let this go.
No.
It's so well documented.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, if he were to twist it, he could defeat us being like, I have a problem with alcohol.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Lord is helping me with it or something like that. He could win over even more people. Yeah.
In the same way that if he said he has a problem with sex workers and the temptations of the flesh.
All we know is it has to do with the flesh. Could be anything.
No, he uses the flesh in that in Bible speak. We know what that means.
Oh, of course. Because that's
what we know what Bible speak
is. That's how they refer to it in the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
They don't just say fucking.
I think you now realize why I needed to go over this.
Yeah.
That when I was walking home from the train,
I heard this. Spring in your step?
Well, I heard this and I was like, holy shit. I literally yelled holy shit on the street. I was like, you asshole.
We got a scoop.
You fucking asshole, Alex. All right. So this next clip, he does not go more into his dog. But he does say something at the end of this clip that I really want to get into. So here we go.
The reason I get at all this is that.
Yes, please tell us why.
There's a very good chance we're going to destroy ourselves. There's a very good chance we're going to have a nuclear winter and that 6 billion people are going to die.
Good point.
Fox is the World War
II. And I guess the meek in the South Pacific, if the war isn't too intense, might live. They'll have radiation poisoning deformities, but they're going to survive.
What?
So I guess the meek will inherit the earth. And I guess like the Bible says, you know, 2/3 of the planet will be killed.
I don't think that's in the Bible.
It's not.
And I'm just a little guilty that I don't have a strong enough flesh to convince my family to leave.
I think.
Is he telling his family to go to space?
No. He's gonna talk a little bit more about it in the next clip. But like what he's specifically talking. He's talking about fleeing.
Yeah.
He's talking about going south.
Yeah, no.
But what I want to take away from that, I think is more important, is that his family doesn't believe him.
They do not believe him at all.
They think he's crazy.
He is crazy.
They're like...
But here's the thing.
He's like, there's a nuclear war coming. We got to get out of here. Alex, stop.
But that's the problem. This time he is right.
No.
I think he's on the right on this one.
He's
cried wolf too many times. He's cried apocalypse too many times.
My fears think he could be right in terms of the global situation.
Uh-huh.
But my more rational brain knows that we'll most likely de-escalate that before it happens. I still think that humanity has enough sense. But I've been surprised a lot.
No, I would have said that a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Look, the gloves are off.
It's Thunderdome.
And the gloves being off means we're all gonna die. We should put those gloves right back on.
Yeah, but I think more specifically what I'm saying is if I have to choose between trusting Alex or his family, I gotta go with his family.
That's a tough nut to crack right there.
Well, his kids don't have a choice in the situation. But then again, his spouse chose to be with him. It's very tough.
Yeah,
but
she
difficult.
Just divorced him though, right?
I don't know.
All right.
His personal life is very tough to disentangle. Yeah. There's a lot of gossip. There's a lot of stuff that, and I have no idea.
Of course.
It's not really that important to me. What I mean is a woman did choose to be with him.
Yes.
And now I don't know if that means I can trust her.
Or if that means anyone will ever love either of us.
Certainly not me.
I mean, that gives us hope, right?
No. Makes me sadder. I gotta get crazier. Maybe someone will love me if I'm crazy.
Either that or move to Texas.
Hey boy, I tell you what, I got a free bedroom in my parents' house down there now. So he's gonna talk a little bit more about, I believe the heading south part of this in this next clip. And then he tries to weave poetic. I think he realizes, I gotta pick it up a little bit. It's been 10 minutes. I've been all over the map. I've gotta try and get a point and get a little poetic, and I don't think it works.
But here I am, just a normal guy, believes in humanity, a throwback, trying to stop nuclear war like Michael Savage. Because we like going to restaurants, we know. We like going out on boats in the water. And we
That's
like
why you would
seeing
stop
our
nuclear
kids.
War.
And we like having friends. And we don't want to kill the Russians.
Reason.
We don't want to kill the Chinese. We don't want anything.
Where are we going?
And then we look at those that are seeking power, who never even had power. They're like functionaries in a big blind beast, a corporate, hungry, seeking creature directed by millions of souls that are unconscious, just looking for salvation and believing if they dive down some rat hole into hell, they might find absolution and nirvana or Valhalla, and all they'll find is a twilight of the gods, which is the end of humanity.
Ragnarok.
So, okay. Mm-hmm. So we go from, there's a good chance nuclear winter's coming.
Yeah.
We don't want that.
No.
Me and Michael Savage.
The two.
Do you know why? We like having friends.
And restaurants.
Restaurants
where we go regularly.
I love
regularly.
That restaurants were number one.
And boats.
We like going out to restaurants. We like boats.
But you remember every single time I fucking talked about Michael Savage, I'm like, when he talks about going to get a meatball sub, he's a great broadcaster. Because he is. And that's why it's the first thing that Alex comes up with. It's because if you listen to Michael Savage and you hear him talk about going to a restaurant, that's the only thing you'll think about. Because he is an artist when it comes to just talking about a great sub.
Did he talk about food on this one?
He didn't? It made me very sad.
Ah, man.
But when he starts screaming about like a chicken parm, get out of the way.
So he missed his true calling.
No, because he's Dr. Savage, but you know what his doctorate is in?
Meatball subs?
Basically. He's a doctor of nutritional medicine.
Oh, I didn't realize
that. He's a dietetic.
I thought he was like a PhD of wackadoo.
No.
All right.
No.
So
he basically does have a doctorate in meatball subs.
Yeah.
So
good
anyway.
Point.
Based on my going to Subway.
So we nailed that. Speaking clearly to the people.
Yeah.
All right. Then I tried.
But also before you skip on to the next thing, he makes that false equivalence that like everyone who's against us wants to kill the Russians and the Chinese.
Yeah.
And hates going out on boats and doesn't like friends. Like it's the either or that's so unfair. It's so stupid.
I think it makes perfect sense.
He did this earlier and
dichotomous thought makes perfect sense.
He did this earlier and I didn't bring it up and I regret it now, but the idea that anyone who disagrees with him wants war is fucking stupid. Like that whole thing, we absolutely don't want war.
No.
We just think that Trump is a menace.
In the words of Killer Mike, we don't want to fight the war
hope.
No more. We don't hate the poor no more.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Those are great aspirations.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I derailed your thought.
All right. So then he goes the inferno on us. He tries to get Dante in this. And we look at those seeking power who never had it. Functionaries looking for the corporate rat holes of hell into the twilight of the gods.
But
what was he trying to say there?
Well, he said it's a beast. They're a part of a beast, a corporate seeking thing. I'm like, oh, you lost track of that.
So do you think we're going Revelations? Is that what he's trying to do right here? Cause if he's bringing up the beast, that kind of has that Bible, Bible feel to it.
The beast is the globalists. It's the group of the globalists. So all of these people are willing their souls into the larger beast that is globalism.
Okay.
Whereas again,
like the X-Men.
Whereas again, I have to make a delineation that globalism as the trend towards there being a global community and interconnectedness of economies, that sort of thing, is a real thing.
Yeah.
Globalism in terms of Alex Jones's definition is not a real thing. But his fake version is the beast.
The beast.
That he's referring to, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not the one from Sandlot.
Also not Hank McCoy.
Not Hank McCoy.
No.
The car from that one movie where the car was called the beast?
No, that was Christine.
Ah, shit. What else do we got? What other beast? No, it's just...
Well, the beast from the east.
So it's everybody selling themselves to the globalists.
Who's the beast from the east?
I have no idea. I've never heard that before. I swear to God, you made that up just now.
I think it might just be a WWE pay-per-view I watched one time. They did a pay-per-view in Japan. That's what it is.
You just rhymed two words.
Nope, that's literally what it was. It was okay. A WWE pay-per-view.
There we go.
I don't even like wrestling that much.
Yeah, sure. You've gone into several wrestling references already.
Well, to be fair, it's a very good storytelling medium. And it turns out there's a lot of... And Dusty Rhodes is the shit. All
there
right,
you go. Maybe there you go. See, there you are. Yeah. Your defense of, I don't even really like that wrestling that much is, you know, it is a great method of storytelling. And I love Dusty Rhodes. And I remember this obscure pay-per-view.
It happened like a year ago.
Oh, okay. Well, then never mind. Point retracted. Anyways.
I stand by my argument that I don't like wrestling that much.
I'm fine with it.
Can't contest it.
I'm fine with that.
All right.
But what is he saying? What is he trying to say? I mean, what was the goddamn point of that whole, we look at those seeking power who never had it.
These Lindsey Grahams, the John McCains.
Right. So is his point that they are trying to facilitate the end of the world?
Basically, this nuclear war that's going
to happen. So they're searching for it. They're trying to start it.
Of course. Yeah. His position is that the globalists want World War III. Maybe here, I might be giving a little bit too much credit, but I think this is where it comes from. So after World War II, we had the EU, well, EU was later, but the UN came about.
Yeah.
And the League of Nations before World War I.
Right.
These attempts to...
And then the Legion of Doom came to follow after that.
Indeed.
Yeah.
But these ideas of these global interfaces, these bodies of a bunch of governments and a bunch of representatives of governments coming together to make decisions together for the betterment of the world so we don't end up with another Holocaust or we don't end up with another war to end wars,
A noble goal.
Yeah, those sorts of things. Alex sees it as, okay, what happened was these evil globalists started World War I. So everyone would die and be horrified, and then they'd start the League of Nations to take sovereignty away from individual countries and consolidate it as a whole in the world, and then they can enslave the entire world. Now, that didn't work out that time.
Right.
So they had to start World War II.
They had a sequel.
And the Jewish mafia propped up Hitler in order to do these Holocausts and these atrocious crimes. The Holocaust centers, as Sean Spicer
famously said, fuck-face idiot, what a fucking dumb, especially
on Passover, Passover.
It doesn't matter. He's a fucking moron.
No, it's particularly bad.
It's particularly bad, and I hope he gets hit by a truck, but fucking focus, we need to get rid of Trump. Who gives a fuck about the dumb fucking Sean Spicer?
I agree.
I'm so angry.
I agree.
I'm so angry that people are talking about him. Get rid of fucking Trump, he'll go too.
It merits conversation.
It doesn't. Get rid of Trump.
It merits
conversation. Get rid of Trump. Focus. Internet. I am imploring you. I don't give a fuck about United. I don't give a fuck about anything. Get rid of Trump, and then we can deal with it.
United's pretty crazy, though.
It's horrifying. It's monstrous. But cops killed 300 black people yesterday.
It's true.
Get rid of fucking Trump now!
I agree.
All right. I think
the talking about Spicer stuff is important to taking away Trump, though. Because what he's doing is... what is known as sort of ambivalent Holocaust denial. There's this trend that people have of like, conveniently, accidentally forgetting pieces of the Holocaust.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
publicly or that sort of thing.
Right.
It's either intentionally dog whistly to these white supremacist groups.
Even worse, it's just part of who he is.
And
in that he's not trying to exploit anybody. He's just that awful of a human.
Right. And as we've discussed, Sebastian Gorka is a literal Nazi.
Literal Nazi.
What was it? The Holocaust statement that Trump put out.
Yes, I remember.
Specifically didn't
mention
the Jews.
Did not mention Jews.
There's just a trend of anti-Semitism that goes.
Holocaust centers.
Yeah, but that's why it's important, I think, is because it does go back to Trump. It's a bunch of people that he surrounds himself with either have no awareness of the reality or deny the reality.
Right.
Or are literal Nazis.
But you cut the snake off at its head and then everything else goes crumbling down.
Yeah, but sometimes, you know, like, if you're fighting a boss in a video game, sometimes you have to take out his arm before you can shoot at his head.
Right.
You know,
no,
like,
I understand. Metaphorically speaking,
like, sometimes.
Yeah, please make sure that you put metaphorically speaking.
Well, but you know, sometimes there's different boss forms and you gotta get through the first one in order to beat the game.
Yeah.
And you might have to.
Like a Final Fantasy, you're gonna have at least three different boss forms to fight at the end.
Or Ganon, who I just beat recently.
Yes. Did
in Zelda.
You just beat him? Good
I did.
For you.
Thank you. I freed Hyrule.
Then the world can end and we'll all be fine.
Amen. We were texting and I said that was my specific goal. I've got to beat Zelda before the world ends.
You did.
And I did.
You nailed it.
So
we're good to go, everybody.
We ended that last clip with him talking about the twilight of the gods.
Yes.
It will be the end of humanity.
Yes. Which is strange for a professed Christian to believe in the twilight of the multiple gods.
Especially, that's like Viking language.
Yeah. No, you nailed it with Ragnarok.
Well, I Googled twilight of the gods because I'm like, that's got to be like a book or something like that. Mm. And all of the citations.
It's just Neil Gaiman everywhere.
Yeah, but it all just went back to like Norse shit.
Yeah.
Twilight of the Gods is code for Ragnarok.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, it's Ragnarok.
Yeah. So he was talking about that. And
the giant boat of fingernails, which makes perfect sense.
This is the last clip of this weird ride we've been on.
Yes.
And it starts up. I have to say this because it seems so unbelievable that I didn't cut anything, but I didn't cut anything.
Mm-hmm.
And to illustrate that, I have the last words of that last clip at the beginning of this. Enjoy where it goes.
And all they'll find is a twilight of the gods, which is the end of humanity. I'm going to go to your phone calls. I'm going to make this very brief. If you want to see us grow in the face of enemy attacks, I mean, there
don't,
we are.
Don't
you know,
do it.
On the stage, in the arena, under attack, water filtration systems, 40% off.
Don't do it. That. Don't you do it, Alex Jones.
Water filtration systems, 40% off.
Don't you do it. Don't you Twilight of the Gods me and then sell me on water filtration.
Now, hold on. I know that this is like, we usually just play like, oh, he's going into a sales pitch.
Yeah.
Who cares? And then it ends.
Yeah.
I want you to shut up for a second and listen to how uninterested he is in his own sales pitch.
Okay.
So listen to the rest of this. It's so fucking sad.
X2, super good halogen out there running out, 25% off. Other products, InfoWarsLife.com, InfoWarsStore.com, or 888-253-3139. Just support us and we'll build. We'll move forward. We got the children's toothpaste. It's fluoride-free with the iodine and everything. The silver, it's all there. It's excellent. The pink, super blue. InfoWarsLife.com, 888-253-3139. But I want to apologize to Dominique for holding so long.
That's a nice reminder there at the end that he's had a caller.
Wait, there's been a caller holding the whole time? No. So for that 13-minute clip, he has had a caller holding the whole time.
Multiple.
Jesus Christ. I love this world we live in.
He could have done anything with his time, but he chose to do that.
That's fucking insane.
Yeah. Man.
What the fuck was that?
That was manna from the gods. That was me saying, I don't know if we can do a good episode today. And then God smiling down upon me and saying, oh yeah, here you go. Dan, make hay. That was 100% like, I don't want to get biblical here or anything like that, but that was a moment when I doubted myself. When I was at work today, I was like, I'm listening to the episode. I don't know. I don't know if we can do it. I mean, this Savage stuff is kind of interesting. I really don't want to talk about Alex's take on the war. What are we going to do? Then that clip happened, and I was like, thank you. Big ups. Big ups, God. big ups.
Somehow this is turning you back into a believer.
Not really.
That's what's happening.
I believe in the great magnet.
The great magnet.
The law of coincidence that, who cares? Listen.
Yeah.
But it's, that's,
right.
that's pretty cool though. I mean, we got a pretty fantastic group of bullshit here.
I want to try and, cause I've written down as much of this as I could.
Right.
So
this is going to be really fun.
What?
Synthesize this.
Yeah, that's what I'm working on.
That when I was putting this together and when I was cutting the clips up, like I said, all I did was segment. I did not cut out anything.
Right.
What I was hoping is like, what we're going to end up having to do, and I think we have along the way, is like, we got to get into critical analysis.
Yeah.
This is like reading a text in a different language. You have to try and figure out, like,
sure is.
What in the fuck is going on here?
And
so
how important is authorial intent is a really good question here. Is it as important that he intended to say something or just interpreting his words on their own?
And like, is the author really in control of his hand?
Yeah.
Like, is there a demon in his hand?
Is this a Virginia Woolf stream of consciousness kind of situation? What's going on here?
Yeah.
Alrighty. So we start. Fade in.
Exterior.
Right.
Exterior. InfoWars studio. Establishing shot.
Yeah.
Pan in through door.
In the background on Skype, a picture lays unhung.
See confused Rob Do. No, how dare you. John Rappaport does not record at InfoWars Studios.
No, I meant on Skype.
Oh, sorry.
Right there. Yeah.
No,
no,
this is a Tuesday episode. Rappaport's on Thursdays.
All right.
Get it right.
All right.
Don't get it twisted.
I'm sorry.
Don't flex on Batman
I don't want to take Alex Jones out of context.
Don't fucking pretend you don't know what day Rappaport shows up.
Alrighty. I actually don't. That's the whole point of this show.
John,
the whole point of this show is that I don't know these things.
John Rappaport works one day a week for an hour.
How else is he going to afford those dentures? All right. Alex Jones believes that Saudi Arabia has at least 300 princes.
No. That's like the third thing he talked about.
All right. Well, that's whenever I first started taking notes. Because the first two were him being just silly.
Well, the first one is really what appeared to be the thesis, which is about everyone thinks he's anti-Semitic and he's not.
Yeah, no, that has nothing to do with anything.
But it comes back. But that's how he started.
Yeah.
So it seemed like that is what you want to talk about because that's how you open.
Right.
And it wasn't. Now the second one, again, we can get rid of because it's just him talking about his dog not wanting to drown him.
Nonk.
Yeah. So yeah.
He doesn't want to get drowned by Nonk.
No, but then you're even cutting out the other thing that came before that, which is, Fox News and the media is all on World War III's dick.
That's mainly because I agree with him.
But then Syria is innocent.
Well, in his mind, he is not advocating for World War III. He's telling you to prepare for World War III.
Mm.
Whereas Fox News and the other channels, and I do not disagree with him, are balls deep in let's go to war.
Right. We're not on the mainstream media's side.
No,
in any
they
way.
Can go fuck themselves.
No, we have some harsh critiques, but
as I tried to say to each and every one of them individually.
Before you got banned.
Before I got banned from Twitter, go fuck yourselves.
Yeah.
So all that
happened before you even brought in your beginning of your critical analysis.
Right. But what am I going to say to that? Critically, the only thing that matters
I'm not anti-Semitic. Syria is innocent.
Right.
Those are two interesting ideas.
Not to the larger not to the larger case that I'm gonna pull.
I apologize. I am now just, I am a student.
Right.
At your lectern.
Well, the only thing that I do think now that you reminded me of it that matters is Nonk. Now, I will tell you this. I will get to Nonk.
I could not have been more surprised when you, starting your critical analysis, literally grabbed a pen and wrote Nonk at the top of your page. Like, that is
That is the key. To me, that is the key. All right? That is the central metaphor that we're going for.
Silently just pumped my fist in the air. I'm so excited.
Because his point to, or not point, his rambling nonsense, to you can't save somebody who is drowning, whereas this dog cannot help but save somebody even when they are not drowning.
Interesting.
Now.
Wait, is that metaphor going to be fleshed out throughout the course of your analysis?
I think that metaphor is who Alex Jones is. Alex Jones is the dog who is trying to save you from drowning, even though you are just hanging out.
I would posit that I'd go a step further, that he is exactly that, but he is also that dog managing to drown you when you aren't in the pool.
Yeah, there we go. Okay.
Like, if you engage with that dog, it's still going to drown you. Even
right,
though it's like,
right, right.
What the fuck? I'm just at the cabana. What's
the
going
dog,
on
the
here?
Dog is the dog who drowns you with the best of intentions.
How do I drown on a patio? What the fuck is going on here? All right, sorry. Go ahead.
All right. Saudi princes have a nigh unlimited amount of money.
So much.
Some of them are paid billions a year, which suggests that their total worth is more than the entire GDP of the United States.
Which is also fascinating because he thinks that being a prince is a job.
I think
has
he
a
does
salary,
too. As opposed to something that you are related to the king by.
Ancestral.
Yeah. If he's saying that there are hundreds of princes, I believe he believes that Assad has hundreds of children.
Well, he's not talking about Syria. That's Saudi Arabia.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Saudi
and
Arabia.
There are
Sorry.
A number of
and there
princes,
are plenty,
but
there
not,
are plenty
I don't
princes.
Think that
yeah,
many.
Yeah, I misspoke. All right. So we go from Saudi Arabia not taking refugees to Israel.
Which, again, that was a lie.
Yeah, a huge lie. Yeah. To Israel, but I'm trying to engage with him on his...
Fair enough.
On his writings.
I shall stop fact-checking.
All right. We go directly from there to Israel is a good guy, but they're opening themselves up to Palestinian attack from not Palestine.
From Syrians.
Right? He doesn't have a positive or negative view of Israel immediately following that quote
negative.
When he says he has a positive view of Israel.
But his actions imply a negative.
Yeah. And he is not on the fence. So, Jewish newspapers are attacking him for his pro-Jewish refugee stance.
Right.
Then... Pseudo-intellectuals, he's always trying to do the right thing, even though he cannot think about it. Even though his conscience, as he tries to, follow its directives, he finds himself tempted by the flesh.
Right. I must fuck.
Immediately after that, hundreds of newspapers. Now.
Hundreds.
My suggestion there.
Well, I think he said 100 a day. I think
exactly.
He said like 100 a day.
My suggestion there. He is guilty. And he believes that people are gossiping about him.
Oh, man.
Not criticizing his thoughts or actions, but they are getting into the salacious details. I think
what
he is not talking...
What you're talking about is projection.
I think he is not talking about newspapers. I think he's talking about people he knows talking shit.
Or maybe blogs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
Or a lot of the conspiracy blogs and message boards that I go to that talk shit on him
yes,
a lot.
Exactly.
But again, like I mentioned earlier, the things that they say, their critiques are that, like, why won't he go after Israel?
Right.
Which kind of does match up with the tone that he's saying here.
Exactly.
I don't think any right-thinking person thinks that. I think crazy conspiracy blogs say that.
Yep. Which, once again, he kind of wants their approval in the same way that he wants everybody's approval.
Sure.
Then
like
go
Trump
to,
wants the New York Times approval.
Exactly. Then we go directly to the schizophrenics.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately following him being attacked, we go to him remembering how he deals with that, which is by giving his people money.
Some of them. But I really think that wasn't the point of the schizophrenic part.
It wasn't the point. I'm getting rid of authorial intent here.
No, because he, even based on his words, when he goes and he sees the schizophrenics, it's not about giving them money. That's not the point that he's making. It's like,
yeah.
I go there and I realize everyone is like them. He goes and he just sees a, like...
To me, what he was talking about there,
uh-huh.
because it scans from him being sad that everybody is attacking him to him immediately giving money away. Now, there is a midpoint there that I don't think matters, because I think what matters is he makes himself feel better by doing what he thinks is the Christian thing and giving homeless people money. So then we go directly to the species is destroyed through war.
Yeah.
Right? That goes from the schizophrenics to the species being destroyed by war.
Mm-hmm.
So we get from his hero worship of money, Jewish newspapers attacking him, trying to do the right thing but sleeping with hookers, 100 plus newspapers. Meh. 100 plus newspapers are attacking him at all the time. He is then talking about schizophrenics.
Also, people knock over his drink when he's out with his family.
Exactly.
Don't forget about that.
Always under attack.
He at the beach.
Always under attack. Slips into his mind schizophrenics. Then we go directly to the ultimate schizophrenic fear, is that he's the only person who can save the species from destroying itself.
Well, him and Savage.
Right. Now, then we get to the stranger part, which is how much he loves this beautiful planet.
Mm-hmm.
And Mama will never love him again. That's when we get into that one.
Right.
So he goes through this, emotional, every possible spectrum of emotion.
Mostly fear, it seems.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, fear and abandonment
and bitter
paranoia.
Yeah.
Then.
And maybe some of that came from Mom throwing him off the knee.
Yeah. Oh, of course it did.
Oh boy.
But then it gets
how fucked up is it that we keep coming back to like really empathic moments for him, like where we're like, "Fuck, man! Like you're an alcoholic. Get help.
Yeah.
We feel bad for you."
Yeah.
Alex, your mom didn't love you enough. That sucks, man. I feel bad for you.
Because he's a tragedy.
Certainly.
I mean, he is, by any definition of the word,
a tragedy. Yeah. Yeah.
No matter what angle you look at him from.
And that's coming from me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's coming from the people who find him to be the most monstrous.
People who have tried to be stand-ups for a while.
Now. Yeah, no kidding. People with the most empathic view of life. Now, then we get a taste of hope. That's the thing that kind of threw me for a loop, because we go directly from Mama's Boy.
Are you saying the hope was that him pretending he wasn't drunk?
No, the hope was him telling us about the future that's coming if we get off this planet. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So either that is a hopeful moment, or he really wants to escape his mother.
I actually think that where you see hope, I see the reverse. I don't think that that's a hopeful moment. I think that he's saying that because he knows it's this science fiction fantasy of us getting off the planet, like especially within the next 50, 100 years, whatever. And I think it's actually more of a doom and gloom thing.
You think so?
I think it's like that is never going to happen. And him positing it as the other alternative means that we're doomed.
I believe Alex Jones believes we will get off this planet.
Well, I mean, he believes that Trump is going to cure every disease.
Well, I mean, but in that regard, I believe he does.
Okay.
Then Lindsey Graham, John McCain, getting us away from chivalry and honor. Of course.
Sure.
Sure.
You know who was into chivalry? Don Quixote.
Maybe a schizophrenic. Very good chance of nuclear winter, so we come back down. We hit that bottom right there.
Oh, that is down.
That is way down. We can't. His family doesn't believe him anymore.
No.
So, do you feel like, and this is my ultimate kind of synthesis of all of this information right here.
Mm-hmm.
He believes that he is trying to save his family, and they are rejecting him. Yeah. Yeah. I'm back at Nonk.
The look you just gave me was so, first of all.
I told you I was going to get back to Nonk. You thought I wasn't going to make it back there, and I fucking did, and I got to look.
Also, was Nonk the dog that died the night that he was drunk on air?
It can't have been Nonk, but it could have been
Nonk. No, because
Nonk
got hit by a car.
Yeah, Nonk was the one who got hit by a car.
Now,
but the dog who did die absolutely had to have reminded him of Nonk.
Probably.
Yeah.
Your thesis is interesting. I don't think it accounts for everything.
I don't think it accounts for everything either. I do think, though, that is the underlying psychoanalytical critical theory of what we're going for here.
I mean, I think if you want to look at his career, it's got to go back to that shit with his mom. So if you want to really, overly, get back to the root of it, where does abandonment come from? Primary relationships when you're a child.
Yeah.
Being severed and being vulnerable and threatened by like, oh, this caretaker doesn't love me anymore, which is exactly what he described. So of course, like this idea of abandonment leads to paranoia. That's right. What's shit. Yeah, absolutely. Right, right. Now maybe it's being triggered by the idea that like, I want to run away to the Cayman Islands. Let's get away from here. And his family's like, calm down. So maybe it's being triggered by that.
I think so. And it's not just this particular instance, and it's not just his immediate family.
I'm sure it's been a 20-year fight.
Right. But I think it is the Trump thing. And this.
So he's also abandoned by Trump in the same way he's feeling abandoned by his family.
And he abandoned his family because they did not support Trump.
Well, we don't know that.
Well, but they're, at the very least, they're starting to change their minds, a lot like Michael Savage and the like are.
Oh, and Steve Pachenik.
Exactly.
In that like four episodes back.
So everyone is leaving him.
Yeah.
Everyone is leaving him. That.
You know what's fascinating? What's fascinating?
He is mad because he feels like he's trying to save them and they're pushing him away.
Much like a dog. You know what's fascinating though? Like for the last 20 years or so that he's been on the air, as he's been ignored by everybody, he's been doing nothing but drawing more gravity towards himself.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's been coming to him. The Rob Dews of the world, the Joe Biggs of the world, like all these reporters, the Leanne McAdoos, the Owen Schroyers, over time, they've all gravitated towards his energy. They've come in, and what fucked him over is finally latching onto a politician.
Yep.
He finally jumped
on somebody else's train.
He hitches up with Trump, and because of that, well, maybe not because of that, but because of the mental gymnastics that he has to do, he ends up alienating Steve Pachenik, who is his main man. His source for a lot of his narratives.
Mm-hmm.
Roger Stone's probably going to prison. The two of them still
seem... We can only hope.
The two of them still seem thick as thieves. Yeah. Also, by the way, I want to tell you about this.
Yeah.
I want to say, before I tell you about this, I'm fascinated by your narrative. I think it's possibly accurate. If not,
it's at least very entertaining.
It's a great, like, it would be a great play.
It would be a great play.
I would love to see that on stage. Like, I would love to see the, like, first act being this guy full of vim and vigor, and like, he has a family and he learns about the globalists. And the
there is a much better story to tell about Alex Jones's life. He's truly a tragedy. That's why he's so fascinating to us, is because we are watching a Greek tragedy unfold in front of us.
Are we the chorus?
I think we're the assholes. I don't know.
What are we in this? Are we the Furies?
No, we're the two Muppets.
We're Statler and Waldorf.
Whoa, that's us. Yeah.
This isn't reality. This is bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
So the other day, Roger Stone was on, and he said that he has a guy who's about to die, who's a source that wants to spill the beans on John McCain. And he's going to give InfoWars the scoop. He's going to give them the exclusive.
That's insane.
So this hasn't materialized yet, so we don't know what...
Of course not.
This was on Monday's show.
Uh-huh.
And so Alex freaked out. And he's like, I'll fly now. Should I get off air? What's going on? Should I do this?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, Rob Dew's here. Should I send Rob Dew? And here's how I know it's bullshit. Roger Stone's immediate reaction is, I think Rob Dew's the best man for the job. I was like,
a sentence no human being has ever uttered in their entire existence.
I was like, this is not a story. If Rob Dew is the best man for the job, that guy can't fucking, he can't.
The other option would have been, somebody needs to take out the trash. I think Rob Dew is the best man for the job.
When you said the other option, I thought you meant as a host, and I was like, a sock puppet? No. I don't know. Fucking, I don't know. Syphil and Ollie? Get him in there. I don't give a shit. Like, the idea that you have a big story to break and, like, fucking get Rob Dew on a plane.
Yeah. Get the most easily suggestible poor man on the plane.
And someone who has no fucking charisma at all.
No.
Like, if you have, like, let's pretend.
Yes.
For a fucking hot second,
I am a raging mass of raw charisma.
No, no, no.
Oh, okay.
That this is a real story, and there's a deathbed confession about John McCain that can be verified, and as Alex has said, is going to destroy his career and his reputation. Like, let's pretend that's true. All right,
let's pretend that. Okay, I'm gonna have to put a lot of thinking caps on to get through.
Now
that
I'm looking at the pantheon of InfoWars reporters.
Yes,
I would say the last person I'd put on it is Alex's son Rex, because he's a child. And he can't handle this.
You're okay.
But he's still in the roster.
Right.
He's also selling a weird thing that you can put your cell phone in to get radiation away from you, which is great. Glad to see him being entrepreneurial.
That is great.
But he's the last.
Wait, what?
I don't know. He's the last. All right. That's a real product he's pitching.
I refuse
it's
to
insane.
Believe you.
It's a Block It Pocket is the name of
All
it.
All right. No, we're done. Andy in Kansas.
No, hold on.
Okay.
After this 13-year-old, the last person I would send is Rob Duke. He's incompetent.
Yes.
If that's a real story, that's a career maker. That's a big scoop.
Yeah.
You want to fucking send that to somebody who can actually handle it.
One journalist took down John McCain.
Right. And you got to give that to someone who you think like might have a career in this, might have potential, and
who can accurately research, follow up.
Well, none
right,
of them can
clearly.
Do that.
No, of course not.
But maybe Ashley Beckford. She see, like I said, I've mentioned
never
this
heard
before.
Her name before, so I assume she's competent.
She seems to have a much better head on her shoulder. She's still a propagandist, but
right.
She has it's very difficult to quantify, but she doesn't seem like as much of a dick as a lot of the people. In the same way, I think Leanne McAdoo doesn't seem like as much of a dick. And maybe it's just because the two of them are women. It's possible.
Right.
But I would say, I would send Owen Schroyer. I hate that guy. But I would send him.
Okay.
He kind of has it.
He kind of has it.
Yeah.
He's got the wow factor.
In terms of like someone who could have a career.
Okay.
Way more than fucking Rob Dew. Again, I would send Leanne McAdoo probably.
You sell Rob Dew short.
You know what? I got so fucking in my head that I'm like, I just like the women who work there. Is it just because
maybe
women?
Maybe you're a fucking perv.
No, it's not even that I'm fucking super attracted to Leanne McAdoo. Not so much Ashley Beckford. She just...
Why are we pro-women on InfoWars? For obvious reasons. The people on InfoWars... Well, no, I mean, the InfoWars is such a culture of toxic masculinity that for you and I, we recognize that immediately as being the most damaging possible thing you can be. So, of course, we're going to prefer the women on fucking InfoWars.
Well, they deserve better. And the reason that I...
All women deserve better.
I'm scrambling in my head. I feel like very self-conscious about it. But the reason that I say this about Ashley Beckford, that I think that she's better than the rest of them, is that I've watched the field pieces that she does. And the way that she interacts with people is still, it's still InfoWars. But you can tell that her brain is a little more engaged. She seems to have better improv chops and is dealing with the situation as it exists more than other people. I know that's kind of abstract and a little bit vague, but it does, you can tell. If you watch her and then you watch Millie Weaver.
Never heard her name before either.
She's Rainbow Snatch.
Oh, Rainbow Snatch.
She plays Rainbow Snatch.
Somehow somebody with an improv background is worse at improv than...
She doesn't have an improv background.
Well, she's been improving on the show for at least twice.
That's not a background.
That's a background.
That's a foreground.
That's a background.
Anyway, we've been going too long about these hypothetical
deconstructions. Yeah, I have no idea what it is we've been doing here.
My point is, if there's an expose about John McCain, don't fucking send Rob Duke. He can't cut it.
That's good advice for all of us.
He stinks. Also, don't send David Knight. He's boring as fuck. Don't send, Anthony Cumia, of course. Send Rappaport.
Send Rappaport. I was just about to say, do you know where Rappaport would do that?
Where the fuck was my brain?
Do you know where Rappaport would do this report from?
Right in front of that goddamn picture.
The fucking bushes, where he has been hiding on university campuses this whole time.
I would give
Nobody can break a story like Batman.
I would give any amount of money to see him interview this guy on his deathbed in a bush with an unhung picture just sitting there on the ground.
I would give anything to see him go anywhere on a field piece and then like a game of Where's Waldo We just see in the background that unhugged picture. Like, wait, why the fuck is he there?
That would be gorgeous.
That would be amazing.
At this point, I also realized I've never seen John Rappaport stand up. He might be in a wheelchair. I literally have no idea.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Anyway.
His teeth are in a wheelchair.
Yeah, damn right. Anyway, this has been a rambling outro, but like,
I don't know how else to counteract. Yeah. What is it he's talking about? That doesn't send us down a rabbit hole of what the hell is it we're talking.
We have to try and make sense of what the fuck that was.
I think I'm close to it. I think it's.
You're not far off.
I think it's the abandonment.
You're in the ballpark.
I think he's Nonk.
You're in the ballpark. And he's sad that he didn't get hit by a car.
Watch what I'm writing down right now.
All right.
It is Alex Jones equals Nonk.
All right.
Done.
All right. Well, it's on paper.
Figured out the whole show.
Well, guys, you can follow us at on Twitter. You can follow us at @knowledge_fight.
You can check us up on iTunes. Subscribe. Leave a review.
We love reviews.
We like it. I don't know if you've ever heard that at the end of a podcast before.
Also, we have a website. It's knowledgefight.com. You can go there. You can find all our archive of episodes. You can find autobiography of Alex Jones in progress.
Yeah.
Also, some documentation of his lies.
Oh, and do you know what's going on that autobiography? His mama kicked him off his knee.
That is going to be written up in the near future.
Oh, yeah.
That one is not out
yet. Oh, yeah.
Although I do have a new one out about him being a boy genius. We referenced it
on the
last
episode. That's right. He is a boy genius.
Now. I also have a new lie documentation coming out. I think it might be out by the time this episode comes out about Hillary selling the uranium to the Russians.
Right.
I have thoroughly researched that, and you can check that out. Spoiler alert, she didn't. But...
It's going in the live files.
Oh, you can email us at knowledgefight@gmail.com.
That's right.
And if you do email us and you want a signed wine bottle, send us your address.
Yeah, you do need to do that. Otherwise, we can't really send it.
How the fuck am I going
to
send an address? Also,
give us your name. We'll throw the wine bottle out the window into some sort of body of water and hope it makes it to you.
Also, I'm specifically talking to you, Drew. thank you for your interest in a shirt. Once more people are interested in shirts, we might get some made. But because there's one person who has emailed me about a shirt, I can't make one.
It is hard to make a shirt.
We are exposing our lack of engagement.
Oh no, come on.
No, a lot of people hit us up on Twitter.
People just don't wear shirts anymore. It's the age of the internet. What are you doing going outside?
Yeah, exactly. Get a digital shirt.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Just saw a ghost in the shell. Great.
Jordan.
All right.
This has been a lot of fun.
This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Until next time, you know what we've been?
We have been a
couple of policy Nonks.
Oh, no!
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.